Have you been involved in any type of accident and don't want to go through your insurance company? Well, bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Maaco. 226-0992. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Insurance companies may try to steer you to their recommended shop. This saves the insurance company money, not you. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot to get to today. We will get to the mailbag a little bit later on in the hour. We will also be getting to an amazing story in which the New York Times effectively admits that, of course, their leftist woke organ, apparently controlled by interns. We'll get to that in just a little bit. First, we have to examine this horrifying story of Israel barring two American congresspeople from visiting. It must be that they hate Americans or they hate Muslims, or it could be that those two congresspeople are vicious anti-Semites who want to destroy the state of Israel. This is being completely misportrayed by the media. Shock of shocks. I mean, the same media that pretends that every time Hamas organizes a terrorist attempt on the Israeli border and then Israel has to shoot people attempting to invade its country, that Israel is the aggressor. That same media that routinely defends the Palestinian Authority, which is a terrorist entity, which funds terrorists, which names streets after terrorists, that same media that champions those folks, that they are actually championing Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Listen, the media bias against Israel goes back 30, 40 years. Now, I'm old enough to remember back in the 1990s when my parents canceled their membership to the LA Times because the LA Times had run a photo on the front page suggesting that a picture of an Israeli member of the IDF protecting a Jew from being beaten by Arab Muslims in Israel was actually a picture of an Israeli member of the military beating an Arab Muslim in Israel. They canceled their membership to the LA Times over this. The media bias against Israel is longstanding, and it has not abated in any way, shape, or form. So the media coverage, naturally, of the Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib fake visit to Israel is similarly egregious. All the headlines are, Israel rejects American congresspeople. And the members of the media are also buying the line, put out there by Tlaib and Omar, that Israel is rejecting them because they are Muslim, which is eminently untrue and insane to boot. 20% of Israel's population is Muslim. There are Arab Muslim parties sitting in the Knesset right now. Members of those parties have called for the destruction of the state of Israel, but because those members of the party happen to be Israeli Arab citizens, they are free to say whatever they want. There are Israeli Arab members of the, not only of the Knesset, but of the Israeli Supreme Court. So all of this talk about Israel is wildly discriminatory against Muslims. Arabic is an official language in Israel. Israel has ruled off limits for Jews. Prayer on the Temple Mount, the holiest site in Judaism. You have to have a special armed guard to go up on the holiest site in Judaism, controlled by Israel, in order to pray up there out of respect for the Islamic Waqf. When there are riots up there every year or so, the Israelis basically protect the right of the Muslim population on top of the Temple Mount to riot. The notion that Israel doesn't tolerate dissent is obviously insane. The only people who could believe that are people who have never been to Israel or watched Israeli media coverage. Haaretz, which is a major Israeli newspaper, is not even comparable to the New York Times. Right? Haaretz's coverage of Israel is more akin to Al Jazeera than it is to the New York Times. And that is a major Israeli newspaper. So this notion that Israel can't tolerate criticism or that Israel is discriminating against Muslims is sheer absolute nonsense. And yet, that is the way the media is portraying Israel's rejection of Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. In reality, the reason they are rejecting Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar is it is against Israeli law for Israel to allow people into the country who seek to destroy the country through boycott, divestment, and sanctions. That is a movement that was started by terrorist sympathizers who openly wish to see Israel wiped from the map. Their idea is that if they can get the world community to leverage economic sanctions against Israel, then Israel will be greatly weakened. And they've made no secret of this. The leaders of the BDS movement have made no secret of the fact that they are not interested in forcing Israel to a negotiated peace with terrorists. Instead, what they are interested in is Israel not being on the map. And Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are part of that movement. Rashida Tlaib has used publicly the dual loyalty smear. Rashida Tlaib has hung out with Hamas sympathizers, with Hezbollah sympathizers, with terrorist sympathizers for large swaths of her career. I mean, going back to January, there was a report in the Times of Israel about Tlaib posing with a Hezbollah-backing anti-Israel activist named Abbas Hamideh, who actually painted a picture of her in front of the Capitol building wearing the Palestinian scarf, the Palestinian pride scarf. According to the Times of Israel back in January, an anti-Israel extremist who heads a Right to Return advocacy group, which would call for the importation of every Palestinian into Israel as citizens, which would, of course, destroy the Jewish nature of the state and destroy the democracy, attended a Detroit swearing-in reception and dinner party for freshman Rashida Tlaib, where he posed with her for a photograph that he tweeted. He said, "I was honored to be a Congresswoman Tlaib swearing-in ceremony in Detroit and private dinner afterward with the entire family, friends, and activists across the country." In the picture, Hamideh is holding a painting of Tlaib in front of the U.S. Capitol while she is wearing a thobe, a traditional Palestinian gown that she wore during her swearing-in on Capitol Hill. Hamideh's social media presence is noteworthy for its virulent attacks on the Jewish state. He has tweeted things like, "Criminal Zionism will eventually die, just like Nazism. No racist and supremacist political ideology should maintain itself. Israel does not have a right to exist." This is a person posing with Rashida Tlaib at her inauguration, at her swearing-in. And then she also posed with a second terror supporter. This is according to Stephen Emerson, IPT News. 2 months after that, in March, she posed with Nader Jalajel, a Palestinian activist who last year mourned the death of a terrorist who led a shooting attack that murdered a rabbi. So Rashida Tlaib has not been particularly shy about her associations, neither has Ilhan Omar. And they weren't being very shy about their associations on this particular trip either. Because as it turns out, the Israeli government, and I've spoken with members of the Israeli government, members of the Trump administration about all this, the Israeli government was fully prepared to let Omar and Tlaib visit. And then they saw their itinerary. And the Israeli government said, no, this is not a thing that's going to happen. Why? Because the itinerary, first of all, said nothing about even visiting Israel. It wasn't about visiting Israel. It was about visiting, quote unquote, Palestine. Okay, and when they said visiting Palestine, they didn't mean visiting Ramallah. The first day is in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, according to Omar and Tlaib, is Palestinian territory. You think Israel would stand for that? Why should they stand for that? Not only that, the groups that Omar and Tlaib were going on this trip with are openly anti-Semitic terror-supporting groups. So why would Israel let these people in? I mean, it's the fault of their constituents in the United States. They're in Congress. That's not Israel's fault. And as we will see, the United States actually has a record of barring Israeli legislators from entering the United States if they feel they have terror ties. This happened back in 2012. So let's talk a little bit about this trip. Okay, because all of this is just a giant PR setup for Omar and Tlaib. That's all this is. The whole thing is manipulative garbage on the part of both Omar and Tlaib, which became absolutely clear today when Rashida Tlaib made it clear that she hates the Jews more than she loves her own grandmother. That is pretty obvious from her behavior today. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, you know, it's tempting to tune out Bernie Sanders. I mean, the man's irritating, and how much can you hear about Putin before you start to tune him out? But the truth is, we cannot ignore his socialist agenda because it is gaining ground. More and more politicians are claiming that socialism, top-down government control, is the prescription for all of life's ills. When it comes to Medicare prescription drugs, there is a growing movement to abandon market forces that have made Medicare coverage, particularly Medicare Advantage, pretty popular. Some in Congress favor socialistic policies that would harm both innovation and our access to life-saving treatments. They're tempted to import price controls from other countries' socialistic systems or to erode free market negotiation on medications. America leads the way in medical innovation. That happens for a reason. More than half of all medical innovation happens right here in the United States. And that sort of medical innovation offers hopes for breakthroughs for Alzheimer's, cancer, MS. And maybe that those cures are just over the horizon. Well, socialism ain't going to help any of that. Instead, what we need is more deregulation. We don't need more government. Learn more at freemarketmedicare.org. That's freemarketmedicare.org. Freemarketmedicare.org, paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Alrighty, so what exactly were these illustrious congresswomen, these anti-Semitic congresswomen? And notice, by the way, media bias in its purest form. When Donald Trump says something that is racially insensitive or xenophobic, the media rush to call it racist, which is an editorial judgment. They say this is a racist comment. And in fact, when the New York Times prints a headline after the El Paso shooting, "Trump urges unity versus racism," people lose their minds because you're not even allowed to suggest the truth, which is that he was urging unity against racism. In other words, newspapers will characterize what Trump says the way they see it, right? They'll call him a racist because they feel the duty to do so. When Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar say something anti-Semitic, The first move of the media is to ignore that and pretend they are not saying anything anti-Semitic, and the New York Times will print headlines about how they've opened a conversation about Israeli money on Capitol Hill or some such, which is what they did after Ilhan Omar suggested that American support for Israel is all about the Benjamins. In any case, so what were Omar and Tlaib actually going to do in Israel? As I say, their itinerary was labeled Trip to Palestine, which in and of itself eliminates the Jewish state. There is no actual territory called Palestine. It does not legally exist. There are Palestinian administered territories that are disputed under international law and that Israel claims ownership of, both historically as well as in terms of winning a war, which they did in 1967 as well as 1973, both wars initiated by Israel's enemies. Well, what exactly was on their itinerary? Well, apparently, the Office of the Prime Minister of Israel has revealed that Omar and Tlaib had plans on meeting with organizations during their visit that have expressed support for terrorism against the nation. The Office of Prime Minister Netanyahu tweeted, quote, "The itinerary of the two congresswomen reveals that the sole purpose of their visit is to harm Israel and increase incitement against it. In addition, the organization that is funding their trip is MIFTA, which is an avid supporter of BDS and among whose members are those who have expressed support for terrorism against Israel." Okay, so what is this MIFTA group? Okay, that's a non-governmental organization that is extremely anti-Semitic. Okay, they have ties to terrorist sympathizers. They have falsely accused Jews of using the blood of Christians in the Jewish Passover. MIFTA, this group that these women were traveling with, has also reportedly praised suicide bombers and deems terrorists as being national heroes. One of the most stunning findings on the group, according to Ryan Saavedra at Daily Wire, is that they have on their website promoted content from a neo-Nazi organization which itself promotes anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that Jews control the media. The author of the article in question that was promoted on the MIFTA website is the research staff of National Vanguard Books, which is a neo-Nazi organization, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they actually put out a piece on their website talking about the evils of miscegenation. I mean, it's unbelievable. A closer look at the travel itinerary for Omar and Tlaib shows they also planned on meeting with additional extremist organizations, including the Defense for Children International Palestine, which has ties to terrorism. NGO Monitor reports that DCIP leads the campaign exploiting children to promote demonization of Israel and is linked to the PFLP terror group. Many of its allegations are false and part of attempts to smear Israel with allegations of war crimes and promote BDS. Several past and current DCIP board members and employees have apparent ties to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is a designated terror organization by the U.S., EU, Canada, as well as Israel, and they support BDS, which Nancy Pelosi called like 2 months ago anti-Semitic. Seth Mandel of Washington Examiner magazine, he tweeted, "One reason you won't see coverage of the organization funding Tlaib and Omar's trip is that it would undermine the narrative this is about criticism of Israeli policy. It shows the true face of BDS, blood libels, Nazi screeds, celebration of terrorists." And naturally, he's right. The media have completely ignored all of this. Okay, so President Trump had suggested that Israel bar them. And Trump is doing this for his own political reasons. One of those reasons is that President Trump would like to make Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib the faces of the Democratic Party. He wants to force Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Chuck Schumer to all get behind the most radical members of the Democratic Party so that he can run against them. And it's not a bad domestic political strategy. Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about the strategy here in a second, whether it benefits Israel, whether Israel did the politically right thing in barring these women. But first, communication in marriage is key. But if we're honest, some things are difficult to discuss with our spouse, or with anyone for that matter. One of those things is sex. Even though 52% of dudes over the age of 40 and 26% under the age of 40 experience erectile dysfunction, studies show that 70% of men who experience ED don't actually get treated for it. And that's where our friends at Roman come in. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is really simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging directly to your door with free two-day shipping. Dudes, go talk to the doctor. ED can be tough to tackle. It's really important to get it checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Coming up, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel has a statement on why exactly Omar and Tlaib are being barred from a visit to the state of Israel. The statement makes a lot of sense. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Do you want more wealth, power, and influence? Well, I can teach you how to have all of that and a lot more on my popular podcast. Hi, I'm Jason Stapleton, a successful entrepreneur, business coach, award-winning film producer, and investor with a unique take on culture and success. Join me 3 times a week as I share insights on creating a more powerful, wealthy, and influential life. Listen and subscribe to my show, Wealth, Power, and Influence, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Westwood One, everyone's listening.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, he's now issued a statement, quite lengthy statement, explaining exactly why it is that Omar and Tlaib have been barred from a visit. Prime Minister Netanyahu put out this statement. No country in the world respects America and the American Congress more than the state of Israel. As a free and vibrant democracy, Israel is open to critics and criticism, with one exception. Israeli law prohibits the entry into Israel of those who call for and work to impose boycotts on Israel, as do other democracies that prohibit the entry of people who seek to harm the country. In fact, in the past, the U.S. did this to an Israeli member of Knesset, as well as to other public figures from around the world. This is true. In 2012, the Obama administration barred a member of Knesset named Ben Ari, and they did so because he was associated with the Kahana Chai Party, which is considered a terrorist organization in the United States, the Kach Party. He was no longer in the Kach Party, but his past with the Kach Party led the United States to bar him from entry. An entire Israeli delegation then canceled its trip. This was not considered a big deal at the time because countries have rules. Prime Minister of Israel continues, Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar are leading activists in promoting the legislation of boycotts against Israel in the American Congress. Only a few days ago, we received their itinerary for their visit in Israel, which revealed that they plan to visit whose sole objective is to strengthen the boycott against us and deny Israel's legitimacy. For instance, they listed the destination of their trip as Palestine and not Israel. And unlike all Democratic and Republican members of Congress who have visited Israel, they did not request to meet any Israeli officials, either from the government or the opposition. A week ago, Israel warmly welcomed some 70 Democratic and Republican members of Congress who expressed broad bipartisan support for Israel, which was also demonstrated a month ago in a resounding bipartisan vote against BDS in Congress. However, the itinerary of the two congresswomen reveals the sole purpose of their visit is to harm Israel and increase incitement against it. In addition, the organization funding their trip is MIFTA, which is an avid supporter of BDS, and among whose members are those who have expressed support for terrorism against Israel. Therefore, the Minister of Interior has decided not to allow their visit, and I, as Prime Minister, support his decision. Nonetheless, if Congresswoman Tlaib submits a humanitarian request to visit her relatives, the Minister of Interior has announced that he will consider her request on the condition that she pledges not to act to promote boycotts against Israel during her visit. And all of that is reasonable. The U.S. ambassador to Israel is David Friedman, and he released his own statement supporting Israel. The statement says, "The United States supports and respects the decision of the government of Israel to deny entry to the Tlaib Omar delegation. The BDS movement against Israel is not free speech. It is no less than economic warfare designed to delegitimize and ultimately destroy the Jewish state. Israel properly has enacted laws to bar entry of BDS activists under those circumstances present here, and it has every right to protect its borders against those activists in the same manner as it would bar entrance with more conventional weapons. Initially, Israel had indicated it would accept the Tlaib Omar delegation and use their visit as an opportunity to engage with and educate the delegation members with regard to Israel's vibrant and robust democracy, its religious tolerance, and its ethnic diversity. Unfortunately, the itinerary of the Tlaib Omar delegation leaves no room for that opportunity. This trip, pure and simple, is nothing more than an effort to fuel the BDS engine that Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar so vigorously support. Like the United States, Israel is a nation of laws. We support Israel's application of its laws in this case." Okay, that statement is entirely just and proper. Okay, so Ilhan Omar then responds with a completely dishonest statement, which is a giant shock knowing Ilhan Omar's history as a congressperson and before. Quote, "It is an affront that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, under pressure from President Trump, would deny entry to representatives of the U.S. government. Trump's Muslim ban is what Israel is implementing." Okay, there's such sheer nonsense built into this line. It's pretty incredible. Trump's Muslim ban. No Muslim ban has ever been enforced in the United States, nor should it. Okay, the travel ban involves 7 countries, only 5 of which are majority Muslim. There are 50-plus majority Muslim countries on planet Earth. Most of them, the vast majority, nearly all of them, are not covered by the travel ban. Israel is not implementing a Muslim ban. They're implementing a U ban. Right? They are banning Omar and Tlaib, not because of their Muslim heritage, not because of their religion, but because they want to destroy the state of Israel. But Ilhan Omar's a liar, so she lies. Trump's Muslim ban is what Israel is implementing, this time against 2 duly elected members of Congress. Denying entry into Israel not only limits our ability to learn from Israelis, but also to enter the Palestinian territories. Okay, you had no intention of learning from Israelis. We saw your itinerary, so you're a liar. Sadly, she says, this is not a surprise given the public positions of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has consistently resisted peace efforts. 2 years ago, he offered to come to the table with Mahmoud Abbas and negotiate without preconditions. It turns out it's very difficult to negotiate with people who want to murder you. Restricted freedom of movement of Palestinians. That's true, because every time the security fence is opened up, people try to commit acts of terrorism. Limited public knowledge of the brutal realities of the occupation. Yeah, why don't you read Haaretz once in a while? And align himself with Islamophobes like Donald Trump. That's, of course, his great sin. "As a member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, it is my job to conduct oversight of foreign aid from the United States of America." This does bring up a point. Nancy Pelosi, by putting this ideologically radical, nasty human being on the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, committed a great sin against the American people. Because this lady should not be anywhere near the levers of power when it comes to the delegation of foreign aid. There can be good arguments to be made about foreign aid. She is not going to make them. By the way, this is on Nancy Pelosi, and it's also on Ted Deutch, 2 members of Congress for the Democrats who had to sign off on this congressional delegation visiting using an NGO. That has to be signed off on by party leadership. That is her statement. Okay, and her statement is a bunch of crap. How do we know that her statement is a bunch of crap? Well, one of the ways that we know that her statement is a bunch of crap is because Rashida Tlaib then decided that she was going to fulfill that request. She put out a bunch of tweets about how she really, really wanted to visit her city. No one knows what that means. I don't know what that term means, but apparently that refers to her grandmother. She tweeted out, "When I won, it gave the Palestinian people hope that someone will finally speak the truth about the inhumane conditions. I can't allow the state of Israel to take away that light by humiliating me and use my love for my city to bow down to their oppressive and racist policies." And so now the agenda's exposed, right? This was never about visiting grandmama. This was never about going and visiting my relatives in the West Bank. This was never about any of that. It was about propagandizing. That's what this was all about, which is why Israel rejected her application to enter in the first place. Coming up, the Democrats respond to this ban on Omar and Tlaib by, of course, unifying around the worst members of their party, as they have.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
This is Carl Bott, and this year, Linda and I are having a staycation at Holiday Harbor. Great facilities, boats, and of course, the Harbor Cafe. Harbor Cafe is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Great food, beer, wine, and of course, mimosas in the morning. Add that to the views of Lake Shasta, and there is no reason to go anywhere else. We love Holiday Harbor and the Harbor Cafe. That's a staycation every family will enjoy. Holiday Harbor.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You've heard, don't call the 800 number. Instead, call your Dish Premier local retailer at 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Here's another reason why.
Christy with Five Stars writes, I had the absolute pleasure of working with Doug and Danny at B&T. Customer service was absolutely amazing. They were able to install in the exact time I needed. I can't say enough good things about this place. Don't call the 1-800 number. And Gary with Five Stars also writes in, I recently had Doug come out to install Dish TV. While he was there, he noticed my home theater system was not working correctly. Doug fixed the issue that a previous installer caused. Thanks, Doug.
B&T Satellite will take the time to listen to your needs and work with you to give you the best TV experience. Your local premier Dish retailer, you owe it to yourself to not call the 800 number. Call 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled. Then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats had a choice. They could continue to side with Omar and Tlaib and the radical members of the squad, you know, the people who promote anti-Semitic policies like boycotts, divest, and sanctions, the open radical socialists. They could rally around those folks, or they could separate off from them. I'll let you guess which path they chose. Now, the Democrats have responded, of course, by defending Omar and Tlaib. And maybe that was the intent for President Trump. Maybe the intent for President Trump was get the Democrats to defend Omar and Tlaib so we can point to them and show how radical they are. Now, I don't think they needed to do this, frankly. Like, I think that if Trump wanted to label the squad the leadership of the House, that's already on the board, right? I mean, I think people already kind of get that, especially because the squad is extraordinarily loud. I mean, AOC, again, being a liar, she tweeted out, members of Congress are frequently asked to visit Israel to see things for ourselves. But Netanyahu choosing to ban the only two Muslim women in Congress from entering tells the U.S. that only some Americans are welcome to Israel. Not all. Again, it's a lie. They're not banning them because they're Muslim. They're banning them because they're hanging out with terror activists. That would be it. Trump is exporting his bigotry, says AOC, and making matters worse. Oh, what strength. What a pillar of genius she is. Now, as I say, I think that Trump's strategy here is to make the squad the face of the Democratic Party. That does come with some dangers. Danger number one is that the Democratic Party could then win and then the squad is in charge. That's actually a scary thought, right? You don't actually want the Democratic Party to rally around the nasty, discriminatory, gross ideology of the squad, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib in particular. So it's a dangerous game to elevate those people to a position of prominence rather than trying to force Democrats to separate off of them, which probably is what would have happened, by the way. Omar and Tlaib probably would have gone. They would have propagandized. That propaganda would have become a serious subject of controversy among the intelligentsia. But it would be obvious that it was propaganda. And then Trump could go to all the Democrats and say, guys, you really okay with this sort of propagandizing on behalf of terror? Everything I told you before about the terror-supporting groups with whom Omar and Tlaib are associated, that could have been made front page news by President Trump. Right? He could have done that after they went there. The preemptive bar forces a lot of Democrats to back Omar and Tlaib when they might not necessarily otherwise have done so. Anyway, this is what the Democrats do. Now, what the Democrats should do here, right, is they should say, listen, Israel has rules. They're applying their rules. Omar and Tlaib have beliefs that are way out of the Democratic mainstream, which is why we voted against those beliefs. Instead, and by the way, I think that Republicans would do that with Steve King, for example, right? If Steve King had wanted to plan a trip to Mexico and the Mexican government said, no, not interested, I think a lot of Republicans would have gone, all right, fair enough. But the Democrats are always going to defend their own. So Joe Biden tweets out something truly disingenuous. Quote, I've always been a stalwart supporter of Israel. Not so much. A vital partner that shares our democratic values. No democracy should deny entry to visitors based on the content of their ideas, even ideas they strongly object to. And no leader of the free world should encourage them to do so. Okay, that is a bunch of horse manure. And the United States bars entry to a wide variety of people based on the beliefs that they hold, based on the content of their ideas. Like, if you come here and you want to destroy the country, then you are not allowed in. In fact, even if you don't want to destroy the country, you may not be allowed in. In 2012, the Obama administration banned a delegation from Israel. Why? Because there was a member named Ben Ari, and Michael Ben Ari of the National Union Party. They said that he had ties to terror group called Kach, and the U.S. refused entry to him. So Reuven Rivlin, who is the speaker of the Knesset, announced that he would ban the entire delegation of members of Knesset from attending a women's conference in Washington in retaliation. Guess who was vice president when the Obama administration barred entry to the United States for a sitting member of the Israeli parliament based on that person's viewpoint and associations? Who was the vice president? Oh, yeah, that was Joe Biden. So when he says no democracy should deny entry to visitors based on the content of their ideas, yeah, you did. You did that, right? The administration you served under did that. And then you get Chuck Schumer's response. So Chuck Schumer similarly suggested, denying entry to members of the U.S. Congress is a sign of weakness, not strength. It will only hurt the U.S.-Israel relationship and support for Israel in America. Well, he said, no democratic society should fear an open debate. Israel does not fear an open debate. They are not going to import people to hang out with terror-supporting groups. Many strong supporters of Israel will be deeply disappointed in this decision, which the Israeli government should reverse. The question is whether Omar and Tlaib should receive special dispensation because they're members of Congress, when if they were not members of Congress, they would certainly be barred. Ariel Gold is a Jewish woman who works for Code Pink, and she was barred from entry to Israel specifically because of her support for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. So if she were a member of Congress, should she be allowed in now? Is that how this works? Again, the Democrats are wrong here, but it is true that the strategy here by the Israelis was probably destined to do this. Steny Hoyer does the same thing. Steny Hoyer is the House Majority Whip, and he similarly put out a statement talking about how this was bad. He said, the decision of the Israeli government to deny entry to Israel by two members of Congress is outrageous, regardless of their itinerary or their views. Really? So if they went there and just said, we're meeting with Hamas and we want to blow up the state of Israel, could Israel deny entry? According to Steny Hoyer, the answer is no. Ted Lieu, one of the dumber members of the Democratic delegation, he went even further. He accused the U.S. ambassador to Israel of dual loyalty. He suggested that David Friedman, who is the U.S. ambassador to Israel, is actually loyal to Israel, not to the United States.
Ambassador Friedman, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, actually, I think he should resign because he doesn't seem to understand that his allegiance is to America, not to a foreign power. He should be defending the rights of Americans to travel to other countries.
But the ambassador was basically saying what the president of the United States, his boss, was saying.
Well, I wish President Trump would resign. I don't think he's going to do that, but certainly I can call on Ambassador Friedman to resign. His allegiance, again, is to America, not to a foreign power, and it's to the Constitution of the United States, not to the president.
Okay, so the fact is that his allegiance is not really in question. Okay, you can have allegiance to the United States and also believe that Israel has no duty to import terror supporters onto its shores. Okay, Ted Lieu then, he tweeted the same thing, and then he tweeted out, it has been brought to my attention, my prior tweet to the U.S. ambassador in Israel raises dual loyalty allegations that have historically caused harm to the Jewish community. That's a legitimate concern. I'm therefore deleting the tweet. Yeah, it's a little late, dude. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You said it twice on CNN. Like, we all know what you meant. So, in terms of strategy, here's the problem. There is something beneficial to Israel in having Democrats, who are weak supporters of Israel, still be titular supporters of Israel. Forcing them to back Omar and Tlaib, or putting them in a position that makes it easy for them to back Omar and Tlaib, may bear some negative fruit down the line when Omar and Tlaib gain more and more power inside the Democratic caucus, and when Democrats make clear that they're going to continue kowtowing to them. It is opening a rift that doesn't necessarily need to be open. Now, maybe that rift already exists. It's been my belief that since the Obama administration, the Democratic Party has been moving radically anti-Israel, and they continue to do so. And that extends all the way to Chuck Schumer and his Democratic Party backing the Iran nuclear deal. With that said, is it a good strategic move? I'm not sure it's a good strategic move by Israel to bar Omar and Tlaib. I think there are other ways of demonstrating what Omar and Tlaib were doing. On a moral level, is there any question that Israel has the right to do this? No. Should they do this on a moral level? Absolutely. Absolutely. The only question is logistics. Is it smart for Israel to do it? Is it good PR for Israel to do it? Again, I think that the case is now moving in Israel's direction, given the fact that Rashida Tlaib has basically come out and explained that she doesn't care about visiting her grandma at all. All she cares about is slandering the state of Israel. Alrighty, in just a second, we're going to get to a coverage shift over at the New York Times that demonstrates full scale the insanity of our mainstream media. But first, right now, radical Democrats like Senator Ron Wyden are trying to rush a price control bill through the Senate. And if that's not bad enough, big government Republicans are helping him do it. This is not good. Price controls are generally bad policy. The idea is to bring down prices. That's why you control them. But the problem is that very often cuts off exactly the sort of innovation and investment you need in a particular industry. Well, where do you need more innovation and investment than in developing new cures and new medicines? That's why my friends over at FreedomWorks are fighting tooth and nail to stop Ron Wyden's statist plan dead in its tracks. Help them stop Senator Wyden from capping your care. Go to don'tcapmycare.com and sign the petition. FreedomWorks has been fighting for free market healthcare solutions for years. They've taken on Democrats when they've had to. They've even taken on Republicans. Now they are taking on Congress. But they can't do it themselves. They do need your help. That's why I'm asking you. Go to don'tcapmycare.com right now. Again, don'tcapmycare.com. And help them stop Ron Wyden from capping your care by signing their petition right now. That's don'tcapmycare.com. DONTCAPMYcare.com. Don'tcapmycare.com. So meanwhile, I have some brief bad news. Apparently, Greenland is not for sale. This is very disappointing. President Trump apparently was super interested in buying Greenland. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. And I was, like, totally on board with this. Honestly, if you didn't want America to buy Greenland, I think you hate America. Right? America! I mean, let's just buy places, right? I mean, we're rich. We have like $21 trillion in debt, but we're rich. We can afford like a giant iceberg. It seems kind of fun. And plus, eventually, a lot of those icebergs will melt. That'll be a waterway, like a northern passage. It'll be really, really important. So why not just buy Greenland? I think that was Trump's law. Also, you could build a beautiful, unbelievable hotel. You could make a golf course right on the glacier. Unbelievable. It was a great idea, buying Greenland. Sadly, this has now been quashed by the government of Greenland. They say we are not for sale. So it's war, then. All right. We will be sending over 10 of our finest. Honestly, we should just buy Hong Kong. Like, it seems like the return on investment is better, and the people are very interested in getting the hell away from Chinese governance. So maybe we can make that deal. Maybe as part of the closing of the tariff deal with China, we just buy Hong Kong. That seems like a good idea. I felt I needed to give you that update because I was so enthusiastic yesterday on my radio show about buying Greenland that I'd feel bad if you went into the weekend thinking that was still a possibility. We'll be back in just a second. But first, you know, it's tempting to tune out Bernie Sanders. I mean, the man's irritating, and how much can you hear about Putin before you start to tune him out? But the truth is, we cannot ignore his socialist agenda because it is gaining ground. More and more politicians are claiming that socialism, top-down government control, is the prescription for all of life's ills. When it comes to Medicare prescription drugs, there is a growing movement to abandon market forces that have made Medicare coverage, particularly Medicare Advantage, pretty popular. Some in Congress favor socialistic policies that would harm both innovation and our access to life-saving treatments. They're tempted to import price controls from other countries' socialistic systems or to erode free market negotiation on medications. America leads the way in medical innovation. That happens for a reason. More than half of all medical innovation happens right here in the United States, and that sort of medical innovation offers hopes for breakthroughs for Alzheimer's, cancer, MS. And maybe that those cures are just over the horizon. Well, socialism ain't going to help any of that. Instead, what we need is more deregulation. We don't need more government. Learn more at freemarketmedicare.org. That's freemarketmedicare.org. Freemarketmedicare.org, paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Meanwhile, over at the New York Times, the woke have taken over. It is amazing. Very often, these sorts of ridiculous, censorious decisions that are made, I mean, at these organizations like The Atlantic to go after Kevin Williamson, or Business Insider to go after Daniela Greenbaum, like those decisions are usually not made by the editors. Those decisions are being made by the interns who get the coffee, because very often the editors, out of a feeling of I need to care what my employees think, and if they're offended by somebody, then we need to change our editorial policy. Right? That's had a major impact on how organizations run, up to and including the New York Times. According to the Washington Examiner, Dean Baquet, the executive editor of the New York Times, said recently that after the Mueller report, the paper has to shift the focus of its coverage from the Trump-Russia affair to the president's alleged racism. He says, "We built our newsroom to cover one story, and we did it truly well. Now we have to regroup and shift resources and emphasis to take on a different story." So in other words, the editorial coverage at the New York Times, the news coverage, is being dictated by narratives that the New York Times left wants to push. So it went from Russia, which was a giant fail for them, to Trump's a racist in no time flat. And they're going to shift how the paper is constituted in order to push that. Baquet made the remarks at an employee town hall on Monday. A recording was leaked to Slate, which published a transcript on Thursday. Baquet explained, "Chapter one of the story of Donald Trump, not only for our newsroom, but frankly for our readers, was, did Donald Trump have an untoward relationship with the Russians? And was there obstruction of justice? That was a really hard story, by the way. Let's not forget that. We set ourselves up to cover that story. I'm going to say it. We won 2 Pulitzer Prize covering that story. And I think we covered that story better than anybody else. But then the Mueller report came out, and it turns out that none of it ended up being a thing." And then he says that we have to shift. He says, "I think we've got to change. The Times must now write more deeply about the country, race, and other divisions." He says, "I mean, the vision for the coverage for the next 2 years is what I talked about earlier. How do we cover a guy who makes these kinds of remarks? How do we cover the world's reaction to him? How do we do that while continuing to cover his policies? How do we cover America that's become so divided by Donald Trump?" No, guys, there's no such thing as media bias. That's just the executive editor of the nation's foremost newspaper talking about shifting his coverage from Donald Trump's a Russian spy to Donald Trump is a vicious KKK-like racist dividing the country. Why do you think there's media bias again? What are you suggesting there's media bias, madam? How dare you? Now, why does this happen? This happens because the staffers inside the New York Times would like to pressure the people at the top. How do you know this? Because the transcript has been released. So the staffers were asking Paquette why they don't just call Trump racist every day. And Paquette was like, yeah, you know, maybe we should. He says, you know, we shouldn't use racially tinged or racially charged. He says, if you're going to do what I said, you got to put your money where your mouth is and just describe it. And then a staffer said, quote, I have another question about racism. I'm wondering to what extent you think that the fact of racism and white supremacy being sort of the foundation of this country should play into our reporting. Just because it feels to me like it should be a starting point, you know? Like these conversations about what is racist, what isn't racist. I just feel like racism is in everything. It should be considered in our science reporting, in our culture reporting, in our national reporting. And so to me, it's less about the individual instances of racism and sort of how we're thinking about racism and white supremacy as the foundation of all the systems in the country. And I think particularly as we are launching a 1619 project, I feel like it's going to open us up to even more criticism from people who are like, okay, well, you're saying this and you're producing this big project about it, but are you guys actually considering this in your daily reporting? So in other words, the foundation of every story written by the New York Times, according to this unnamed staffer, is that white supremacy lies at the root of America, not the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution of the United States, not broader principles, but racism. That the story of America is the story of racism and how racism infects everything. And Paquette says, pretty much, that he agrees with this. He says, maybe we shouldn't use the word racist because everything is racist. He quotes a guy named Keith Woods, who's ombudsman for NPR, and he says his argument boils down to this. Pretty much everything is racist. His view is that a huge percentage of American conversation is racist, so why isolate one comment from Donald Trump? I do think that race has always played a huge part in the American story, and I do think that race and understanding of race should be part of how we cover the American story. Sometimes news organizations sort of forget that in the moment, but of course it should be. I mean, one reason we all signed off on the 1619 project and made it so ambitious and expansive was to teach our readers to think a little bit more like that. Because that's the job of a newspaper, is to indoctrinate you in a particular political point of view using their news coverage. Man, oh man. I mean, that is astonishing stuff from the New York Times. But only astonishing if you've never actually watched the coverage from the New York Times. Coming up, we'll jump into the mailbag, take some of your questions. It's a Friday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Do you want more wealth, power, and influence? Well, I can teach you how to have all of that and a lot more on my popular podcast. Hi, I'm Jason Stapleton, a successful entrepreneur, business coach, award-winning film producer, and investor with a unique take on culture and success. Join me 3 times a week as I share insights on creating a more powerful, wealthy, and influential life. Listen and subscribe to my show, Wealth, Power, and Influence, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Westwood One, everyone's listening.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's a Friday. That means it's time for some mailbag. So let's jump right in. Carlos says, "Hey, Ben, I'm a free market guy, but recently I've been doubting the validity of the claim that wages reflect a person's productivity. I'm 23. I have a pretty high salary for my age. I have a bachelor's in economics. I'm proficient in two programming languages. The thing is, I don't really do anything. I work in an office and watch videos on YouTube most of the day. I have a friend that nurses in intensive care that makes $20,000 less than I do. My question is the free market really that good at determining wages? If it were true, shouldn't all the people I know that have real jobs make more than I do?" No, Carlos, here's the problem. You're mixing up the value of your labor with the effort of the labor. You're sort of using a model of the Marxist labor theory of value, meaning that how hard you work should be reflected in your wages as opposed to the value of your work reflected in your wages. So presumably the reason that you are earning more than your friends who are nurses who work in intensive care is because you have a very specialized skill set that you have spent a lot of time cultivating, and there's a demand for that skill set, and so you are getting paid more, meaning that somebody needs to do that job. There are not that many people who can do that job. You are one of the people who can do that job. And so what determines wages is not how hard you work. There are people who are working, digging ditches every day who work a lot harder than I do, and I'm sure I get paid more than most of those people. Okay, but that isn't because I have a specialized skill set that people want to hear from. Now, does that mean that my work is, quote-unquote, more valuable on a moral level? No, of course not. Of course not. My wife's work is much more important than mine on a moral level. My wife is a doctor. She takes care of people. She makes a lot less money than I do. Right? And she's doing much more valuable work in terms of societal influence. She's doing much more valuable work in terms of helping people. But that's a moral judgment, not a judgment as to what the value of her work on an economic level is. Now, the reason that people mix these two things up is they think, okay, well, that's not fair. Your wife is helping people, and you're not helping as many people on a direct level. Right. But the answer is that if you want more people who are doing what my wife does, then you actually need to incentivize them to do it. And also, that is determined by how many people can do what my wife does. Right? This is the problem with teaching, for example. So people say teachers don't get paid enough. And the answer is teachers very often are not getting paid enough. And in many cases, they're getting paid too much because it's not a free market system. The question is, how many people can fill that slot? How many people can do that job? The question is not, what is the inherent moral value of the job? Because there is no way to determine what somebody should be paid based on the inherent moral value of the job. My wife should be paid infinity based on the fact that she saves lives. But infinity is not an option. The question is, how do you create a system where a lot of people are going into medicine to help people, while also recognizing that not everybody should go into medicine, because at a certain point you're going to have a surplus of doctors or a surplus of nurses? The way that markets determine how much labor is necessary is through the pricing mechanism. That is what the pricing mechanism is designed to do. And this is just as true in labor and services as it is in products. I think just on a pure level, stethoscopes more important than pencils. Stethoscopes are more important than pencils. But the question as to how many stethoscopes should be produced and how many pencils should be produced, and that's a question of how many people want to buy stethoscopes and how many people want to buy pencils. That's how we allocate the amount of labor that should be designated for a particular task. And this is why baseball players get paid lots and lots of money, because they have a very specialized task, and a lot of us want to see the best baseball players, but there are very few people who can play baseball at that high a level, and so they're paid a lot of money. If that's not a problem with the market, maybe that's a problem with our priorities. Maybe we ought to make a case that our priorities ought to be different, but that's a case for individual human beings and forcing people to, quote-unquote, have different.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Travelers entering the U.S. at major airports were slowed by a computer outage affecting Customs and Border Protection stations. Michael Lillard, a spokesman for Dulles Airport and others in the Washington, D.C. area, says that the computer outage that affected Customs and Border Protection screenings has been resolved.
Processing procedures are returning to normal. However, passengers arriving at Dulles from international locations may experience a little bit of a lengthier wait time due to the earlier outage.
The Trump administration has won a partial victory in efforts to limit the number of immigrants applying for asylum at the two of the busiest crossing areas along the southern border. Here is correspondent Wally Hines with the report.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked the states of California and Arizona from enforcing the policy, but allowed the states of New Mexico and Texas to move forward. If implemented, the ruling allows the Trump administration to deny asylum for migrants who cross into those two states from other countries if they don't seek asylum in those countries first. The ACLU has vowed to continue fighting to block the policy completely.
The FCC has fined ABC for a spoof by Jimmy Kimmel that misused a simulated EAS signal as part of a jab against the actual nationwide test of EAS via text message last October.
Three times during the skit, the emergency signal was played that is sent over television, radio, and mobile phones to warn people of actual danger, like floods and fires. ABC got fined $395,000. ABC has agreed to pay the fine and not improperly use the emergency tones again.
Correspondent Ed Donahue, three other broadcast companies received fines for similar violations, including AMC for an episode of Walking Dead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your retirement accounts are at risk. That's right. Your entire retirement savings have never been more exposed. If you have retirement investments, there is an IRS loophole that can save your nest egg. Don't let government bail-ins and fiscal irresponsibility wipe out your savings. Text loophole to 49776 to get Advantage Gold's explosive report that bankers and Wall Street do not want you to see. Your wealth is threatened by political infighting, massive debt, stock market volatility, and experts predict that the U.S. dollar could lose its status as the global reserve currency. Learn all about the IRS loophole that can protect you from massive losses. This IRS loophole could be your last chance to secure your assets. Text loophole to 49776 right now. Don't risk losing your entire retirement. Text loophole to 49776. Your entire retirement savings have never been more exposed. Don't delay. Text loophole to 49776 now.
Police have released a photograph of a man who was recorded on security cameras placing a pair of rice cookers in the New York City subway station. The discovery of the cookers Friday prompted an evacuation and roiled the morning commute. NYPD Chief of Transit Edward Delatorre says that in addition to the subway station, police investigated a suspicious item near an intersection in Manhattan's Chelsea neighborhood.
We had one additional job that may or may not be related up on 16th Street and 7th Avenue. That came in about 10 after 8 this morning as a suspicious package. It was an additional rice cooker that was put out with the garbage and that was also found to be just an empty rice cooker.
A photo released by police shows a tattooed young man looking over his shoulder as he lugs a cooker into an elevator. Senior NYPD official John Miller says footage at the station captured the man using a shopping cart to take the cookers to two locations. News and analysis at townhall.com. President Trump's reported interest in buying Greenland isn't the first time the United States has expressed an interest in the world's largest island.
Back in 1946, the U.S. proposed to pay Denmark $100 million to buy Greenland after flirting with the idea of swapping land in Alaska for strategic parts of the Arctic island. Now, more than 70 years later, there are media reports that President Trump has discussed a possible purchase. Some sources, however, say he was not serious. It's probably a moot point because Greenland said it's not for sale. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Actor Peter Fonda, the son of a Hollywood legend who became a movie star in his own right, both writing and starring in classics like Easy Rider, has died. His family says in a statement Fonda died Friday morning at his home in Los Angeles. Peter Fonda was 79 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll get some of your questions in the mailbag, plus a bizarre story from the Washington Post, which exposes the silliness of a lot of left-leaning feelings with regard to transgenderism and gender dysmorphia, gender dysphoria. We'll talk about all of that coming up. But we begin this hour with some bad news for President Trump. A Fox News poll released on Thursday shows that President Trump is losing head-to-head matchups against four of the top Democratic presidential contenders, against four of them. He doesn't break 40% against any of them. The poll found Trump with 39% support among registered voters in head-to-head matchups against Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Elizabeth Warren. The poll found Sanders beating Trump with 48%, Warren beating Trump with 45%, Harris winning with 46%. Now, the good news is that none of those candidates are winning 50%. An incumbent candidate will probably win closer to between 45 and 50%. So there is no shot that Trump is going to win only 39% in the next election cycle. With that said, the fact that he can't break 40% as an incumbent against Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris, that is not a good sign. It's also obviously supremely early. Trump is a specialist in whittling down his opponents to size. So Elizabeth Warren, if she starts off at 45%, will not end at 45% after Trump has finished trashing her. Former VP Joe Biden is at 50%, beating Trump 50 to 38. That is the stat that should worry Republicans the most because, number one, Biden is right now the front runner with a heavy share of black support, particularly in southern states like South Carolina in the Democratic primaries. And second of all, because Joe Biden has 100% name recognition. So how Trump whittles Biden down to size, it's more of a task than whittling down Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris or Bernie Sanders. Warren has seen the largest gain in support in the poll among Democratic primary contenders, an 8-point jump from last month's survey. Warren is now in second place behind Biden with the support of 20% of Democratic primary voters. Sanders is down to third. He's now at only 10%. So Sanders is being eaten by Elizabeth Warren, according to most of the polling data at this point. Biden is still at 31%. He's the clear front runner at this point. But does that shift if Elizabeth Warren should win Iowa, which it looks is likely to happen, or wins New Hampshire, which is also quite possible? It's a serious, serious problem for President Trump that he is running behind all these candidates at this point. Again, it is still early. That is not predictive. He was running against Hillary behind Hillary in every single poll, basically leading up to the election. So you can't really trust these polls this far out. However, does the president need to win over some additional voters? Yeah, he certainly does. Now, the good news for Trump is that Joe Biden is still making people uneasy. Elizabeth Warren makes people in the Democratic Party uneasy because you do need to win moderates. Joe Biden makes people in the Democratic Party uneasy because, frankly, he's a bad candidate. According to 538, voters care about Biden's age, not about his gaffes. This is Nate Silver writing. He says, after a week's worth of media focus on a series of gaffes and misstatements by former VP Joe Biden, Democratic voters are reacting by apparently not giving much of a damn. Granted, there hasn't been a ton of polling this week, but what data we have looks just fine for Biden. His position in Morning Consult's weekly tracking poll, first place with 33% of the vote, is unchanged. In Harris X tracking poll for ScottRasmussen.com, he's at 28%, which is actually up 3%. He's down 1 point in YouGov's weekly poll. He did get some middling numbers in New Hampshire this week, but Biden also got a good poll in South Carolina. Not that you should necessarily have expected any differently, writes pollster Nate Silver. Biden has survived more serious problems, a rough first debate, a group of allegations about inappropriately touching women, only to see his numbers rebound from any decline. But people are focusing on varieties of Biden's gaffes for another reason. They see it as a sign of Biden's advancing age. Whether those Democrats are genuinely concerned about Biden's age because it might affect his performance against Trump, or whether they're just using it as an excuse to promote other candidacies, it is, in fact, a problem. And it's a problem that is going to dog Biden, who appears much older than President Trump. An NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll in February found that 62% of voters had reservations about voting for somebody aged 75 or older. There hasn't been much of a discussion of age from the other political candidates. Eric Swalwell brought it up in one of the first presidential debates, but he wasn't the right person to do it. Maybe anti-Biden Democrats think they're being coy by using gaffes of Biden's as a proxy for concerns about his age. They don't want to risk being seen as ageist. But it is pretty early, and Biden's age is still the biggest risk factor. The fact is that Hillary Clinton appearing to be unstable, I don't mean like crazy, I mean actually health-wise unstable on the campaign trail. The fact that she collapsed into a van in the last weeks of the election after being told for literally months that everything was fine with Hillary Clinton health-wise, that certainly did not help her. Trump is vital for his age. I mean, the guy has enormous amounts of energy. You can certainly not say that he is low energy, and that is in fact a problem for Joe Biden. It may be a problem that Barack Obama was trying to target when he reportedly told Biden not to run in 2020. Apparently, there is a New York Times report out today that suggests that Obama counseled Biden not to do it. According to Glenn Thrush, Barack Obama was riding his call for generational change to the Democratic presidential nomination in the spring of 2008 when he began musing about potential running mates with aides traveling with him on the trail. I want somebody with gray in his hair, Obama, then 46, told one of them. He was thinking about an older guy. That older guy was Joe Biden. He ended up with Joe Biden in 2008 being old. Well, this is a problem. The Obama-Biden origin story has been often told and often sentimentalized, but a reexamination at this crystallizing moment of the primary campaign, based on more than two dozen interviews with Obama and Biden aides and others with knowledge of the relationship, reveals a more complicated dynamic between the two men, one that is still evolving. The media obviously very much interested in driving a wedge between Obama and Biden, because if black voters begin to sense that Biden is not Obama's choice, they may shift their votes to someone else, Elizabeth Warren maybe, or Kamala Harris. Biden and his advisors initially thought he might be a better fit as Obama's Secretary of State. Apparently, he exploded when campaign researchers began asking questions about the private life of his family, especially his younger son, Hunter. Obama took a while to warm up to Biden, and in the early years, he kept him at arm's length and on a leash. Up until earlier this year, he suggested Biden would be better off sticking with his vague promise that his short-lived 2008 presidential campaign would be his last. The New York Times reports that while he was initially skeptical of Biden's decision to run, Obama, driven by affection and loyalty, has been more active in advising his campaign than previously known. Apparently, he has gone so far as to request a briefing from the campaign before his friend officially joined the fray. So apparently, according to Mediaite, Obama did tell Biden earlier this year, quote, "You don't have to do this, Joe. You really don't." The two spoke at least half a dozen times before Biden ultimately decided to run. Obama took pains to cast his doubts about the campaign in personal terms. In 2016, Obama pressured Biden to sit out the race, partly because he thought Hillary Clinton had a better chance of building on his agenda, partly because he didn't think that Biden was emotionally equipped to handle the race. Biden thinks he could have beat Trump 4 years ago, which is probably truer than Hillary, obviously. Now, apparently, Obama and Biden are having lunch together. Obama and Biden had a lunch in which Obama emphasized Biden's need to bring younger faces into his campaign. In Obama's March meeting with Biden's campaign advisors, he said, win or lose, they need to make sure that Biden does not embarrass himself or damage his legacy during the campaign. That is Obama trying to protect himself. The real reason that Obama doesn't want Biden running is because if Biden loses, that is seen as a referendum on Obama, not just on Biden. So if, in fact, Obama starts to sense Biden going down the tubes, it would not be particularly shocking to see him sort of push Biden over the edge. Obama is cutthroat. I mean, that is a cutthroat politician right there. And Barack Obama's cutthroat nature in politics is not going to allow him to see Joe Biden run a weak campaign that ends with him losing a campaign for the presidency against Donald Trump. That would be a double defeat. To have Hillary Clinton lose to Trump and then to have Joe Biden lose to Trump would be devastating for Obama's legacy. We'll talk more about this in just a second, because Democrats may be stuck between a rock and a hard place, between the weakness of Joe Biden as a candidate and the radicalism of the other Democrats. We'll get to that in just one second. First, it is tempting to tune out folks like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. After all, they say the same sloganeering nonsense over and over and over again. But unfortunately, what they say does have an impact. More and more politicians are claiming that socialism is the prescription for all ills. When it comes to Medicare prescription drugs, there's a growing movement to abandon the market forces that have made Medicare coverage fairly popular. Some in Congress favor socialist policies that would harm both innovation and our access to life-saving treatments. If you want the best treatments, you're going to need innovation and investment in innovation. Well, you cut the profit margins, and where does all that money go? It ain't going to go to innovation. Right now, there are a lot of people in Congress who are tempted to import price controls from other countries' socialized systems or to erode free market negotiation on medication. America leads the way in medical innovation. Over half of medical patents on planet Earth are developed right here in the United States. That needs to remain an American stronghold. Protect America's innovation. Tell the Senate to stand strong against price controls and for free market competition. Learn more at freemarketmedicare.org. That's freemarketmedicare.org, paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. So as I say, Joe Biden's weakness as a candidate disguises the fact that the other candidates may not actually be able to win anybody in the middle. And that's a problem. It's why it is imperative for Donald Trump to stop alienating voters in the middle. There's a poll from Fox News yesterday, devastating for President Obama, showing that among voters who don't like either Biden or Trump, they are breaking in favor of Biden 43-10. That is a terrible stat. Among voters who didn't like either Hillary or Trump in 2016, they broke basically evenly for Hillary and Trump. That is not the case come 2020 against Joe Biden. So Democrats naturally are trying to knock Biden out of the race. A.B. Stoddard, who is sort of a moderate left commentator over Real Clear Politics, she says, as Biden creates doubts about his viability, there's no one else positioned to wrest support from the center of the electorate with a broad enough coalition to win in November 2020. Party elders can foresee a nightmare scenario in which Senator Bernie Sanders fades, Warren consolidates enough support from his voters to topple Biden, then becomes the nominee and loses the general election. Last weekend at the Iowa State Fair, when Biden made mistake after misstep and Trump proclaimed he wasn't playing with a full deck, the contrast with Warren was painful. Her crowds were large and excited, his were not. Party operatives were abuzz over her stellar organization in the Hawkeye State, where her campaign has spent months embedding in local communities, even attending small non-political events to ingratiate themselves among voters from every corner of the critical caucus state. Seasoned operatives say Warren's organization and penetration in early states could make the difference in close contests once voting begins. While doubted and dismissed by the chattering class when she announced her candidacy, her grinded-out, non-splashy campaign has finally broken through and captured the energy of the hyper-engaged primary voters. Polling shows her surging nationally as well as in Iowa, but Biden's support has softened. He could stabilize again and prevail. He did that in June. Polling has consistently shown voters far prefer someone who can win rather than someone who represents their values. This has sustained Biden. According to Democratic Party chairman of Iowa's Madison County, Joe Biden can resonate with the working class voters who Trump fooled in the last go round, and that's what we need. He's close to the middle. But what if Biden is too outdated, fatigued, and forgetful? He's going to be just shy of 78 next November. But that's a problem, because the fact is that there is no one in the center of the Democratic Party. Elizabeth Warren is not in the center of the Democratic Party. Biden wins with non-white voters and working class whites. That's the coalition that's always chosen the party's nominee. Warren does poorly with both. Hers is a base of largely educated white voters. Implicit in the anti-Biden argument is that liberals think he can only attract African-Americans who typically vote, not the ones who don't vote, who they hope to excite and turn out next year. So Democratic head honchos are very, very worried about knocking out Biden too early. But that is only going to be exacerbated as poll after poll comes out showing that Biden can beat Trump, but so can Warren. If there are more polls showing Warren beating Trump, that's very bad news for Joe Biden. As we continue here on the Ben Shapiro Show, we need to talk about Beto O'Rourke, not because he's an important candidate, but because he's proposing something that I think is a corollary to the generalized notion that the government should be involved in the internet. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea from the right. It's a bad idea from the left. I will explain why coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, one of the things that we have seen from right, left, and center is attempts to try to curb the power of social media. Now, I think that companies like Facebook, like Google, like Twitter, they need to be a lot more transparent about how they go about their business. And that is very difficult to do for a lot of these companies where the algorithms aren't really all that open to the public. But we need to know why it is that you get barred from YouTube or barred from Twitter. And the fact that these companies are analyzing millions and millions of posts every single day does not really excuse the fact that in major cases where the public pressure is brought to bear, that there aren't transparent standards. That's frustrated a lot of people on the right, and I think correctly so. You can see the double standard on Twitter, right? Twitter will trend topics that it feels are important, lump together topics that have nothing to do with one another. This happened to me the other day. My name trended on Twitter, and they did it in combination with Steve King. Why? The story that was trending about me on Twitter had nothing to do with Steve King, simply because they decided to lump the two together. I mean, it was ridiculous. But with that said, do I want any of these sites regulated by the government? I do not. And the reason is because the left has a very different idea of why these sites should be regulated than President Trump does or Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, does. Take, for example, Beto O'Rourke. So today, Beto O'Rourke suggests that the Section 230 protections from the Communications Decency Act that protect social media platforms. That is the section of the Communications Decency Act that says Facebook is not responsible for what you post on Facebook, that Twitter isn't responsible for what you post on Twitter, that should be gutted. Why? It should be gutted because he wants to make these platforms police his version of politics. So here's what he wants, according to his website. He wants to hold internet companies accountable for hosting and allowing for the amplification of hate speech and domestic terrorism. Now, if he wanted to hold internet companies accountable for hosting domestic terrorism content, I guess that would be arguable. And if you are promoting actively violence and Facebook is just letting you do it or amplifying it, that is indeed a problem. However, if your definition of hate speech is just stuff Beto O'Rourke doesn't like, I am kind of scared of letting Beto O'Rourke run Facebook. More scared than of allowing somebody like Mark Zuckerberg to set technological standards over there. According to Beto O'Rourke's website, he wants to require large social media platforms to create systems designed to remove hateful activities on their sites. How does he define hateful activities? Get ready for this. Beto would require large internet platforms to adopt terms of service, require them to adopt terms of service to ban hateful activities defined as those that incite or engage in violence, intimidation, harassment, threats, or defamation. Okay, harassment and defamation would be the key words there. Okay, intimidation or violence, right? That's assault. Violence, of course, is violence. Incitement is a legal standard. But defamation and harassment are two very, very different things. And even if you want to take a narrow view of harassment, meaning that you go online and you just decide to annoy the living crap out of somebody, and we come up with some common definition of harassment that makes sense, defamation is too broad. They say targeting an individual or group based on their actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin, ethnicity, immigration status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or disability. These companies would be required by the government to do that. So in other words, Facebook would be required by Beto O'Rourke to bar people on Facebook who call Caitlyn Jenner a man, even though Caitlyn Jenner is in fact a man. And these companies would be required to put in place systems designed to identify and act on content violating the terms of service. Platforms must be transparent when they block content and provide for an appeal process in order to guard against abuse. Now, again, I would encourage these companies to voluntarily undertake those standards of transparency right now. I think that's good for them. But do I think the government should mandate that stuff? No, I'm not comfortable with Beto O'Rourke sitting above Facebook. And he wants to amend Section 230 of the CDA to do this. He wants to remove legal immunity from lawsuits for large social media platforms that fail to change their terms of service and put in place systems as described above. I mean, this is dangerous, dangerous stuff. Again, here's the problem, folks. You know, there is a nationalist conservative contingent today that spends a lot of time talking about how government can be used to promote the common good. Once you give government power, why do you believe that it will be Tucker Carlson and Orrin Cass deciding exactly what the standards will be as opposed to Beto O'Rourke and Elizabeth Warren? Once that power has been handed over to government, that power does not come back from government. And government power is dangerous. Government power can be abused. Government power can be used wrongly. At least you have the capacity to leave Facebook. What happens when this standard is set on every social media site by Beto O'Rourke, not just Facebook? Insane. Okay, meanwhile, good news, we now have four states in the United States that now require their public schools to teach LGBT history. So that's exciting stuff. It is very, very important that we segment off segments of the population, and then we force children to learn about history from those particular points of view. They can't learn history, you know, just actual history. We have to create areas of study in high schools that explain why transgender people are very important to American history. Really, the law in Illinois has now been changed to mandate that history classes in public schools include a study of the roles and contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the history of this country and the state. So I guess we're going to have to learn about Leonardo da Vinci's sexuality, even though that has nothing to do with anything. Very, very important stuff. By the way, the American people don't know basic history, but they do know that America is a horrible, discriminatory place because of the education system. Less than a quarter of Americans know why we fought the British during the Revolutionary War. Six in ten Americans don't know which countries America fought during World War II. Six in ten. Only 13% of Americans know when the United States Constitution was ratified. 57% of Americans don't know how many justices serve on the Supreme Court. Clearly, we need to reprioritize our education system to ensure that people understand that James Buchanan might have been gay. Very, very important stuff. Well done, American education. You're doing yeoman's work. Just fantastic. All righty, coming up, we're going to talk about how the media re-educate Americans on important issues like transgenderism. Apparently, this stuff is vitally important for Americans.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
School's out. Spend the day at Turtle Bay. Explore Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp and check out our brand new Forest Adventure Playground featuring a super slide, zip line, and more.
Feed lorikeets from your own hand in the Parrot Playhouse Aviary. See Turtle Bay animals on our Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show. And don't miss out on our summer exhibition, Goosebumps, The Science of Fear.
Access is free for members and included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. One of the things you have to love about our media is that they are purely objective. They really just want to cover the news. They don't have narratives they're pushing. It's not as though they craft narratives and then they just craft their stories to fit those narratives. They just look at the facts objectively, provide you data points, and then let you draw your own conclusions. Sorry, that's not true. Okay, so the Washington Post has a piece today. It's really a piece in the Washington Post, a national newspaper, by Samantha Schmidt. It is called A Mother, But Not a Woman. Now, you may be asking yourself, how is this possible? The answer is, it's not. This person is a woman. Here is the story. Braden Scherzinger is non-binary, pregnant, and about to take on the most gendered role of all. Oh, prepare yourself for some moving transgender/non-binary propaganda. The first thing Braden Scherzinger felt was the pop, like a bursting balloon. A doctor had said today could be the day, and a Google search said exercise could help speed up the process. So here Braden was, under a warm late-April sun shaded by oak and willow trees, taking a third lap around a suburban Virginia neighborhood determined to walk out a baby. Braden stopped on the sidewalk, feeling the liquid trickling through baggy gray baseball shorts. "Mom, get in the car," Braden said over the phone. "My water just broke." For nine exhausting months, Braden had lived in a body that felt more feminine, with its swelling belly and breast, than Braden had ever felt inside. And yet this transformation was the means to what the 26-year-old had always wanted to become, a mom. Okay, so far, you are describing a lady having a baby, right? Like, my wife's done it a couple times. The body changes, and you have a baby. It's been working this way for a few hundred thousand years. Nothing new. But wait, there's more. Braden was born biologically female, but has always identified as more masculine than feminine. Why would that matter to having a baby? How you identify doesn't care about your identification. Facts don't care about your feelings, and neither does a uterus. A uterus does not care about how you feel about your uterus. It just exists. It's an object. It's a bodily organ. Turns out, none of your other bodily organs actually care what you think either. Your appendix, doesn't care. That lung right there, doesn't care at all. Braden was born biologically female, but has always identified as more masculine than feminine. For months before the pregnancy, Braden had taken testosterone shots, leading to a deeper voice, a sharper jaw, and more muscular arms. But Braden is no longer a transgender man. Wait, hold up. So what you're saying is that Braden was a transgender man, but is no longer a transgender man. Now, this poses some serious questions for some of the LGBT ideology that suggests that transgender people are born that way, that you were born and in a woman's body. But apparently Braden was a woman who then was a transgender man, but is no longer a transgender man, but is also not a woman. But as it turns out, the whole time was a woman who's just having a baby. Really, this whole story could simply be done in one paragraph. Woman has baby, is confused about how to live her life. That's the entire story. That's the whole thing. But instead, it is a several thousand word long musing on the nature of gender, gender identity, and biology. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Braden is no longer a transgender, but I was informed by all of the best people that if you are a transgender man at any point, then you will remain a transgender man, and you were always a transgender man in the first place. Caitlyn Jenner was always a woman. And Caitlyn Jenner will always be a woman, even if Caitlyn Jenner decides that Caitlyn Jenner is a man again in accordance with his biology. If you're confused, that's because none of this makes any sense. But to the Washington Post, it makes a lot of sense, and we require several thousand words of coverage in order to cover it. At an LGBTQ support group almost 2 years ago, Braden heard someone use a word that resonated, non-binary. It felt like the best way to describe who Braden was. Not a he or a she, but a they. Part of what appears to be a growing group of Americans who identify as genders other than male or female. No reliable data is available on their numbers, but non-binary people like Braden are more visible than ever, and parts of the country are rapidly adopting rules to recognize them. Yes, because we live in the stupidest timeline. Your inability to recognize that you're a biological male or a biological female, which would be an objective standard for determining whether you're a male or a female. Because we're stupid, we have now decided to use our legal system to make itself subject to your whim. State and city governments, including in D.C., California, and New York, have begun offering a gender option of X on identification cards. Airlines, school districts, and colleges nationwide are allowing alternative gender markers because everyone is moronic. Because if we followed Braden's path, and we were creating an ID for Braden, here is what Braden's ID would have looked like. Female, male, X. All three, over the course of time. And yet, if you don't accept this, if you believe that there is such a thing as immutable biological characteristics, like male and female, if you believe this, this is because you're a bigot. It's because if you believe that her ID always should have just read F, and then she can do whatever she wants, it's a free country, and if you use the word she to describe this human female, you're a bigot. You're a bigot, and you should be forced to accept the subjective, fluid, and randomly changing nature of gender. Come on, guys. This ain't the real world. A lexicon of pronouns, says the Washington Post, such as they and them, has also emerged to express the idea that gender is fluid, moving along a continuum from male to female, like a ship rocking across the ocean's eddies. The Washington Post has formally recognized the new pronoun since 2015 because the Washington Post is utterly full of crap and stupid. Them and they are plural pronouns. Those words had meanings already. If you wanted to create random other pronouns, you want to go with she, right? You want to go with XE, and then say that you're only talking in terms of gender and it's self-identified gender, and you want to provide us less information about the person than we would have if you just used a biological pronoun, have at it. But hijacking words like they and them to mean individual people is a perversion of the English language and obviously a perversion of the nature of biology as well, because this is not many people. To people like Braden, the terms provide a liberating alternative, but to many Americans, the pronouns are ungrammatical and confusing. Yes, those would be the ones who use reason, because they are ungrammatical and confusing. They find moral certitude in a binary world. So I won't prove to you how confusing this is. They find moral certitude in a binary world. Is they an individual who identifies as non-binary, or is they a plural pronoun right there? Do you know the answer? You can only identify it from context, and even there it's not clear. They find moral certitude in a binary world made up of men and women playing roles that conform to the genders on their birth certificates. Oh, really? Is that true? So, in other words, if I think that there are men and women, and some women are masculine and some men are effeminate, then I'm a bigot now? Because that happens to be reality. There are tomboys, and there are women who are more butch, and there are men who are more effeminate, and all of that's fine. It's a free country. No one cares. But to pretend that male and female no longer exist, that these are figments of our imagination, is the height of stupid. We find moral certitude in a binary world. I love how the piece has to ladle in all of this anti-reason bigotry. If you believe in male and female, then you're desperately trying to cling to moral certitude. No, I'm using rational language to describe what human beings are biologically. You are making up crap and then expecting me to embrace the crappy terms that you make up that have no set definition and are completely fluid and subjective over time. You can't communicate with other human beings this way. If you keep changing the rules of words, how exactly are we supposed to have a conversation? By we, I mean you and I, not me as an individual human being, right? Because that would be stupid. But if they, meaning the Washington Post, not an individual non-binary person, want to say what they want to say, meaning the Washington Post, not an individual non-binary person, then they are better off for describing they as an individual pronoun. You with me? You with me? No? Bueller? We'll get to more of this nonsense in just one second. First, communication in marriage is key. But if we're honest, some things are difficult to discuss with our spouse, or with anyone for that matter. One of those things is sex. Even though 52% of dudes over the age of 40, 26% under 40, experience erectile dysfunction, studies show that 70% of dudes who experience ED don't actually bother getting treated for it. That's where our friends at Roman come in. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is really simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging direct to your door with free two-day shipping. Dudes, go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle. It is really important to get checked out. With Roman, it's very easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Okay, so this Washington Post piece continues. After calling everyone who doesn't accept the Washington Post's idiotic definitions of words, or misdefinition of words, after labeling all those people bigots, the Washington Post continues. Right now on the sidewalk, baritone voice cracking with excitement, body beginning to shake, Braden was about to take on one of the most gendered roles of all, motherhood. Well, if by gendered roles you mean that only females can be mothers, this is true, because the word mother has to do with females. Braden, wearing a Hogwarts t-shirt and Adidas sandals with socks, turned around and started wobbling in the direction of home, dialing at the same time. A neighbor walked by with her golden retriever, and Braden stopped to pet it as if it were just a casual afternoon stroll. What am I doing on my phone? I was about to call the doctor, Braden said, tapping the numbers for the obstetrician's office. Hi, it's Brittany Scherzinger, Braden said, using the legal name, the dead name, the despised name. Obviously, it killed Braden. Braden's alive and doing fine. Can you let Dr. Gonzalez know I'm on my way to Fairfax? My water just broke. On an afternoon in March, about a month earlier, Braden had been wandering the bright aisles of the maternity clothing section at a Bye Bye Baby store in Northern Virginia, hunting for outfits to accommodate a growing belly. Dressed in maroon sweatpants and a baggy black t-shirt, Braden grimaced at the racks of low-cut shirts, tight colorful leggings, and pink flowy tunics with cinched waists. Only one top seemed like something they might wear. She might wear. A red flannel button-down shirt, but even that was too feminine. I can't win, Braden said, walking away without choosing anything. Really? I promise you, there's like a Ross right around the corner. You can buy whatever you want. But apparently Bye Bye Baby is supposed to cater to women who don't believe they are men, but also believe they are not women. Really strong stuff. Braden had a similar feeling while surveying the offerings in the baby bottle section. Juvie Boob Baby Bottle. Braden read the name on one white glass bottle out loud and chuckled. If it's called Boob, I don't want it, Braden said. Ay, 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 ay. And then it talks about Braden's history. It talks about how Braden had always had the sensation of being in the wrong body, behaved like a tomboy. Braden's mom insisted on buying her child dresses and later, when Braden was a teenager, heels and push-up bras. But Braden just wanted to wear cargo shorts, band t-shirts, and Pokemon sneakers, clothes for getting dirty. By age 13, Braden had developed a crush on a girl from next door. By age 19, Braden felt no choice but to dress and act like a butch lesbian to continue expressing masculinity. Then Braden started seeing transgender men on magazine covers and came across them on YouTube and Instagram who talked about their transitions. Braden wanted to look like them, hard-edged, confident, and strong. So, in January 2017, at 24, Braden started taking testosterone shots to transition to a man. And then it turns out, being a man didn't feel completely right. So Braden decided that Braden was non-binary and then had sex with a man and then got pregnant by the man. So Braden has been a lesbian, a bisexual, a man, a female, and non-binary. And this is society's fault, somehow, to deal with all of this. We can't just use terms that make sense. Well done, Washington Post. You've clarified everything. I think we all feel better now. Well, we'll get to more on this in just a moment. Plus, we'll jump into the mailbag. But first, did you know that you can watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show? You can, but you have to be a Daily Wire premium subscriber. How can you accomplish this? Well, you go to dailywire.com. You click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of the show every day on demand. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of this show, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and more. Plus, as part of a limited time offer, you'll get the exclusive Leftist Tears tumblers. You can drink those Leftist Tears, coffee, tea, whatever you're into, hot or cold. You ever wonder what the man behind this deep, mellifluous voice looks like? You want to watch or listen to the show at your desk while you pretend to do work? Just head on over to dailywire.com. Click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. That is the only way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand. There is no other way. So head on over to dailywire.com. Click on the subscribe button at the top of the page and join the team. We really do appreciate it. Alrighty, coming up, it's a Friday. That means we'll take some of your questions in the mailbag. So stick around for that. You are listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions. For a healthy, comfortable home.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Do you want more wealth, power, and influence? Well, I can teach you how to have all of that and a lot more on my popular podcast. Hi, I'm Jason Stapleton, a successful entrepreneur, business coach, award-winning film producer, and investor with a unique take on culture and success. Join me 3 times a week as I share insights on creating a more powerful, wealthy, and influential life. Listen and subscribe to my show, Wealth, Power, and Influence, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Westwood One, everyone's listening.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's a Friday. And, you know, I had some more questions in the mailbag. And, you know, what better things do we have to do right now? So let's just go into those questions. Justin says, hello, all-knowing Shapiro. Well, thank you. I had a question I'd like to ask. I'm 20 years old and in college. I'm wanting to dive deeper and know more about the current issues going on today, but wanting to get multiple viewpoints on those issues so I can hear what both sides think. What are some ways you would recommend going about finding info on issues from both sides while still trying to get accurate details? Thank you, Justin. Well, I've always said that you should think of news coverage as a series of intersecting lines. So if you listen to this podcast and then you listen to the leftist podcast, Pod Save America, for example, you will hear two wildly different perspectives on the politics of the day. See, this is also the difference between this podcast and Pod Save America. Pod Save America will never recommend that you listen to my podcast. I'll recommend that you listen to their podcast. I don't care. I think you should. I think you should listen to lots of different podcasts. Okay, so Pod Save America, you listen to their podcast, you listen to my podcast, and then what we are saying that is the same, which is usually the basis of fact, that is the intersection point. Everything else is viewpoint. And that's how you can tell, right? You actually have to look at two different news sources, look at Daily Wire, and then look at Huffington Post, and where they cross over, that would be the core of fact, and then everything else is opinion. I've been recommending this for years, because I think people should think for themselves and be fair-minded in how they approach subjects. And just because something is printed in the New York Times doesn't make it false. It may be biased in its coverage, but you have to look at how the New York Times covers something and National Review. And what they have in common, that's probably the core of fact, and then everything else is the opinion drawn from that core of fact. Brian says, hey, Ben, not really a question, but want to thank you on speaking on working hard and not complaining. It is personal and cannot be solved by the government. I have cerebral palsy, and my parents always taught me to work hard. My first job was at McDonald's, and a regional manager said I was too slow. Things worked out. Through hard work, my brother and I were the first to go to college in our family. I got my PhD from a top medical research university. I'm now an assistant professor. Yes, there are some conservatives in the crazy world of academia with a great salary doing clinical work and research with over 20 publications. Anyone can achieve their dreams through hard work. Blessings, Brian. Brian, I really, what a fantastic, fantastic story. And it is 100% true. Okay, the decisions you make in your life are going to impact your life way more than anything else you do. I can't tell you the number of letters I've received this week. I mean, probably hundreds of letters this week in my mailbag, specifically about the podcast the last couple of days and the radio show the last couple of days, in which I talked extensively about how it is that the personal decisions that you make determine the course of your life, how it is not impersonal forces that politicians blame that determine the course of your life, that usually in a free country, the decisions you make are the ones that are important, how you problems have you solutions, how when I say that you having two jobs to pay for a roof over your head, that's a you problem, what I mean by that is that it is a problem for you to solve. That is not a problem that can be solved by Kamala Harris riding it on a white horse. I've gotten so many letters from people saying, yeah, I work two jobs, and I'm glad I do because it's my decision, and this is a free country. And a ton of letters from people who say, yeah, I used to work two jobs, and now I don't have to work two jobs because I've worked hard, and I've developed a skill set, and I've made decisions, and I've moved to different parts of the country. Life isn't all you're guaranteed in the United States. I've said this before. All you are guaranteed in the United States is the adventure. But that's a freaking fantastic guarantee, isn't it? Isn't that an unbelievably great guarantee? Your grandparents from another country, maybe they weren't guaranteed that adventure. That's why they came here. You know, the people who crossed the continent in covered wagons and taking months and their kids dying of dysentery, like an Oregon Trail, okay? Those people weren't guaranteed anything but the adventure. My great-grandparents coming to the United States in 1907 weren't guaranteed anything but the adventure. And the adventure was, that was the point. That was the point. Seeing an American life as an adventure in which you are the hero of your own story, making those decisions, it will make your life so much better than sitting around whining to Kamala Harris that the economy is rough right now. That ain't going to change anything because Kamala Harris ain't saving you. And if you think that welfare benefits are going to save you either, we are spending $30,000 plus per capita on welfare in this country for poor families. And that is not guaranteeing a ladder out of poverty for people. The best way for you to make your way in the world is to make a series of smart decisions. Make those decisions over and over and over. Learn to become the kind of person who makes those smart decisions. You will be so much more successful and happier in life because you'll have taken control of your own life. And I've gotten, I promise you, dozens to hundreds of letters in the mailbag this week proving it. People saying that they actually appreciate this perspective because there's nothing more enervating than being told by a politician you can't do it. You know, the Obama line, the Si Se Puede line, yes, we can routine. The answer is not yes, we can. The answer is yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's a free country. Yes, you can. And if you need help, then reach out to a local charity. Reach out to people who want to help you, to give you opportunity. I get letters every single day from people asking for opportunities. Many of them I can't handle. Some of them I can. Some of them we've hired. We've hired people based on this sort of stuff. If you are constantly seeking opportunity and taking advantage of opportunity, your life will be so much better and so much happier. And Brian, that's an amazing story, and thank you for that story. As I say, I wish I could read all the letters I've gotten this week. They're fantastic. I was showing them to my wife last night, and she was crying. I mean, it's amazing. There's so many people who are inspiring stories of how America still works. Zach says, Ben, I'm trying to study the ancient Greek philosophers. I'm wondering if there are any introductory books you could recommend that help explain Plato and Aristotle's ideas. Well, I mean, first of all, There are some very good translations. There's an excellent Harvey Mansfield translation of Plato's Republic that is really, really first rate. There is also an excellent translation available of Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. All these translations are available. But if you're just looking for sort of a brief overview, then there is a book by Will Durand called The Story of Philosophy that's great. It gives you like 15 to 20 page introductions to each of the great philosophers. There's also a great compendium called History of Political Philosophy, edited by Leo Strauss, that gives you 20 to 30 page summaries of philosophy. There's also a great book called The Passion of the Western Mind that really spends some heavy time going through Plato and Aristotle. It's really good. If you want like a very, very brief intro, then my book, The Right Side of History, does cover some Plato and Aristotle right at the very beginning, talking about the foundations of Greek thought. So
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Jeffrey Epstein's death has been ruled a suicide by the New York City medical examiner. Here's correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The 66-year-old financier accused of sex trafficking was found dead in his New York jail cell last Saturday. Now the medical examiner's office has released a statement saying the autopsy and other evidence confirm Epstein hanged himself at the federal jail. He had been placed on a suicide watch last month after he was found on his cell floor with bruising on his neck, but that watch had been lifted. The attorney general says Epstein's death remains under investigation. I'm Jackie Quinn.
President Trump trying to reassure his supporters amid growing worries of a possible recession.
The president has spent considerable time this week talking up the strength of the U.S. economy in the face of stock market volatility, a trade war with China, and mounting recession fears. He told a New Hampshire rally that the United States has the hottest economy anywhere in the world, and he said the financial security of voters depends on his re-election, warning that if he's defeated in 2020, Americans' 401k retirement accounts will go down the tubes. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Travelers entering the U.S. at major airports were slowed by a computer outage affecting Customs and Border Protection Station. CBP said that systems were operating again on the East Coast. The agency didn't explain what went wrong, but a spokeswoman says that there were no indications of any nefarious activity. Travelers tweeted photos and videos of backed-up lines. Hundreds of strangers have come to pay their respects for a victim of the El Paso, Texas mass shooting who had few family members. The mourners braved 100-degree heat Friday to stand outside of an El Paso funeral home to honor 63-year-old Margie Ricard. She was one of 22 people killed by a gunman. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlique.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, but I've been taking Garlique, and it worked.
I've been taking Garlique for years.
My pharmacist recommended Garlique. He said there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol.
I take Garlique every day. No garlic breath. Lots of people like you are choosing Garlique to help maintain a healthy cholesterol. Garlique, it's cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
There is more oppression being reported in Iran. Here's correspondent Keith Peters.
The UN expert on human rights in Iran says last year saw increasing restrictions on the right to freedom of expression and continuing violations of the right to life, liberty, and a fair trial in the Islamic Republic, including 253 reported executions of adults and children. Javed Raymond said in a report to the General Assembly circulated Friday that while the number of executions was the lowest since 2007, the number of executions remains one of the highest in the world. Keith Peters reporting.
Colorado tightened its air quality regulations on Friday, requiring that at least 5% of the vehicles sold in the state by 2023 emit zero pollution. The State Air Quality Control Commission which passed the rule on an 8-1 vote, said the requirement applies to auto manufacturers, not buyers. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Mormon Church has issued a health warning to its members. Here's correspondent Ed Donahue.
New guidance from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says coffee is prohibited, no matter how it's marketed. Vaping is banned and marijuana is outlawed unless prescribed by competent doctors. The focus is on young members of the church. Word of Wisdom is a set of rules about what foods and drinks are good for Mormons and what substances they should avoid. For past generations, just entering coffee shops was considered taboo. The new warning says drinks with names that include cafe, mocha, latte, and ending in chino usually have coffee in them and are against the Word of Wisdom. I'm Ed Donahue.
Amazon has announced that its facial recognition program used by one Washington State Police Agency can now detect emotion, generating concerns from privacy advocates. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who has a big announcement involving the chairmanship of the Republican Party of Texas. We'll get to that in just a little while. Plus, the New York Times admits that their coverage is biased, was biased, will always be biased, but they don't see the bias, which, of course, is the entire problem. But we begin this hour with the continuing fallout from the PR stunt of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib trying to do a visit with terrorist groups in Israel and then claim that they are being victimized by Israel. So these ladies set up a trip. The trip was set up with a bunch of terror-supporting groups. They had labeled their trip a trip to Palestine, right? The trip included visits to Jerusalem, but they called it a trip to Palestine. On their itinerary, there was no indicator whatsoever that they intended to meet with anyone from the Israeli government, either in the opposition or in the government. And then they lied about it. Then they claimed, no, we were just there for a learning trip, guys. It wasn't a propaganda trip on behalf of our preferred policy, the destruction of the state of Israel. It wasn't, you know, just a propaganda tour so we could go over to the Palestinian side and talk with people who were wounded in firefights and talk about the suffering of the Palestinian people and then call for a mass boycott against the state of Israel. No, it wasn't about that at all. It was just about learning, guys. Yeah, they're liars. They're liars. How do I know they're liars? Because Ilhan Omar is now blatantly lying about things. So the Prime Minister of Israel explained exactly why Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar were banned from visiting Israel. He says, listen, anyone can come unless you want to destroy us. Seems like a fair standard. I'll invite a lot of people to my house, but if you want to burn it down, you don't get invited. Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu had put out the following statement. He said, no country in the world respects America and the American Congress more than the state of Israel. As a free and vibrant democracy, Israel is open to critics and criticism, with one exception. Israeli law prohibits the entry into Israel of those who call for and work to impose boycotts on Israel, as do other democracies that prohibit the entry of people who seek to harm the country. In fact, in the past, the United States did this to an Israeli member of Knesset, as well as to other public figures from around the world. Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar are leading activists in promoting the legislation of boycotts against Israel in the American Congress. Only a few days ago, we received their itinerary for their visit in Israel, which revealed that they plan to visit whose sole objective is to strengthen the boycott against us and deny Israel's legitimacy. Okay, that part is 100% true. Right? The whole statement is 100% true. The Prime Minister says, for instance, they listed the destination of their trip as Palestine and not Israel. And unlike all Democratic and Republican members of Congress who have visited Israel, they did not request to meet any Israeli officials either from the government or the opposition. A week ago, Israel warmly welcomed some 70 Democratic and Republican members of Congress who expressed broad bipartisan support for Israel, which was also demonstrated a month ago in a resounding bipartisan vote against BDS in Congress. However, the itinerary of the Congresswomen reveals that their sole purpose was to harm Israel and increase incitement against it. Okay, so Ilhan Omar then tweets back. She tweets back, first, I plan to hold meeting with members of the Knesset, both Jewish and Arab, along with Israeli security officials. The claims of the prime minister otherwise are not true. As a delegation, we are also scheduling a meeting with the ambassador. Okay, that is absolutely 100% false. The itinerary is public. The entire itinerary is public. So she is just blatantly lying. It is not true. In fact, would you like to know who Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were going to meet with? They were going to meet with groups that engage in open anti-Semitism. As the Prime Minister of Israel says, in addition, the organization that is funding their trip is MIFTA, which is an avid supporter of BDS, and among whose members are those who have expressed support for terrorism against Israel. Actually, it gets worse than that. As Ryan Saavedra writes over at the Daily Wire, a closer examination of MIFTA, which Israel's prime minister noted was funding Omar and Tlaib's trip, reveals that the non-governmental organization is extremely anti-Semitic, has ties to terrorist sympathizers, and has falsely accused Jews of, quote, using the blood of Christians in the Jewish Passover. MIFTA has also reportedly praised suicide bombers and deems terrorists as being national heroes. In fact, the group on their website promoted content from a neo-Nazi organization promoting anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that Jews control the media. The author of the article was the research staff of the National Vanguard Books, which is a neo-Nazi organization. Astonishing. Astonishing. Also, Omar and Tlaib were planning on meeting with the Defense for Children International Palestine, which has ties to terrorism. Several past and current DCIP board members and employees, according to the NGO Monitor, have apparent ties to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is a terrorist organization. So Omar and Tlaib were going there to meet with terror sympathizers, people who hate Israel, want to destroy Israel. That was, in fact, their idea. And Israel was like, well, nope. And now they're whining about it. Now we get the whining. So Ilhan Omar is comparing her banishment from Israel to Trump's Muslim ban. She says it's a betrayal of democratic values. She says that Israel is implementing a Muslim ban. Very weird, because 20% of Israel's population is Muslim. There's an Arab party that is Muslim in the Knesset. There's an Israeli Arab on the Israeli Supreme Court. And Arabic is an official language in Israel. So, yeah. No, that would be a no on that. And in fact, you know how I know that it's not a Muslim ban? Because Rashida Tlaib had issued a letter. The letter that she had issued was a letter to the Interior Minister saying, I would like to visit my grandmother. And I promise I will not engage in any illegal activity, including calling for boycotts against the state of Israel or propagandizing it or any of the rest of this. And the Minister of the Interior said, okay, you can't come if you're just going to come here and propagandize. But if you want to visit your grandmother, you can go for it. Well, now Rashida Tlaib says, I'm not even going to visit my grandmother. I love my grandmother, but I'm not going to visit her. Not if I can't also crap on the Jews while I'm at it. She tweeted out, silencing me, treating me like a criminal is not what she wants for me, her grandmother. Well, you're not silenced. You get to say whatever you want. You just don't get to call for boycott of Israel on Israeli soil. That's not a thing you get to do. Treating you like a criminal, well, I mean, you are engaging in criminal behavior in Israel by Israeli law. So they're treating you exactly like they would treat anybody else. It would kill a piece of me, says Rashida Tlaib. I have decided that visiting my grandmama under these oppressive conditions stands against everything I believe in, fighting against racism, oppression, and injustice. So in other words, she issued a letter specifically to the Israeli government saying she wouldn't do this stuff. The Israeli government said, okay, well, then you can come. And she said, well, I'm not coming unless I can do this stuff. That is not how any of this works. If you say to me, I'd like to come over to your house, I'm like, well, okay, sure, sounds good. They're like, well, you know, there's this thing I'd like to do. It's to shatter every window in your house. I'm like, well, I'm not going to invite you over under those circumstances. Okay, fine, so I won't shatter the windows. Okay, fine, you can come. Then you come over, and you're like, I'm shattering all your windows. I'm like, get out. I'm like, that's discrimination. That's oppression. My general theory is you didn't want to come over to my house to not break the windows. That is my theory. That this was not about Rashida Tlaib visiting Grandmama. This is about Rashida Tlaib ripping on the Jews. And Grandmama was just a prop that she could use to proclaim that Israel was banning her from visiting her 90-something grandmother. That's what all of this was. Now, the Democratic response is exactly what you would think the Democratic response is, to side with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. They are now suggesting that Israel is discriminatory and terrible. Joe Biden says, I've always been a stalwart supporter of Israel. Not true. A vital partner that shares our democratic values. No democracy should deny entry to visitors based on the content of their ideas, even ideas they strongly object to. Really? Like, we can't deny entry in the United States to people who advocate for the overthrow of the American government? We're not allowed to do that now? Because I'm fairly certain that we do that. In fact, I'm fairly certain that we deny entry to the United States to a wide variety of people. In fact, the United States recently denied entry to Omar Barghouti, who is a BDS supporter. So, yeah, we actually do that. Democracies do this all the time. And there is something rich and ironic about Joe Biden suggesting that you cannot bar anyone from entering the United States, even if they express views that you don't like. But the same Democratic Party he supports wants to legislate hate speech legislation so you can go to jail for saying stuff Joe Biden doesn't like. So in other words, if you're an American citizen and you say something that Joe Biden and the Democrats don't like, then maybe you should be prosecuted. But if you want to come here and crap all over America, then you should be let in. That apparently is the standard. Also, Joe Biden was the vice president when the administration of Barack Obama actually rejected the entry of a sitting member of Israel's parliament. That happened in 2012. We'll get to more of the idiotic Democratic response to all this, including some open anti-Semitism from Ted Lieu. Good times, man. We'll get to all that in just 1 second. First, whenever I travel abroad, like, for example, if I were to travel to Israel where I'm not banned, since I am not calling for a boycott of the state of Israel or its destruction, whenever I travel abroad, I'm still worried about cybersecurity. Why? Well, there are lots of people who want to hack your information. Also, depends on where you go. If you're going to China, government shuts down some of your access to websites that you need. This is why you need a VPN. And the VPN that I use is ExpressVPN. They encrypt your data while you surf the internet on public airport and hotel Wi-Fi. With ExpressVPN, you can unblock all your favorite websites. You can have access to the internet just like you would if you were at home. ExpressVPN runs in the background of your computer or phone, and then you use the internet the way you normally would. You download the app, you click to connect, and voila, you are now protected. I never go online while traveling without ExpressVPN. You should not either. It costs less than $7 per month. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and right now you get a special deal. You can protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months for free at expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 months free with the one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Okay, so all the Democrats came out in solid support for Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. Now, from a strategic point of view, I think President Trump wanted this to happen, right? President Trump was encouraging the Israeli government to bar Omar and Tlaib. The truth is, Trump probably shouldn't say much about it because that's an Israeli internal policy. But Trump really domestically would like to see Omar and Tlaib as the faces of the Democratic Party so he can campaign against them. The Democrats rallying around Omar and Tlaib, however, is actually a bad thing for the world. So what is good for you politically, the radicalism of your opponents, may not actually be good for the world or for the state of Israel. Meaning having the entire Democratic Party swivel behind Omar and Tlaib is actually quite a bad thing. And the Democratic Party shouldn't be doing it, but you always have to expect them to take the coward's way out. They're not going to confront the radicalism inside their own party. Instead, they're going to crap all over Israel. They'll even crap all over members of the American administration who happen to be Jewish. Here's Ted Lieu, the Democrat from California, suggesting that the ambassador to Israel from the United States, David Friedman, that he is actually loyal to Israel, not to the United States, because he thinks that Israel doesn't have to take in somebody who wants to destroy it.
Ambassador Friedman, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, actually, I think he should resign because he doesn't seem to understand that his allegiance is to America, not to a foreign power. He should be defending the rights of Americans to travel to other countries.
But the ambassador was basically saying what the president of the United States, his boss, was saying.
Well, I wish President Trump would resign. I don't think he's going to do that, but certainly I can call on Ambassador Friedman to resign. His allegiance, again, is to America, not to a foreign power, and it's to the Constitution of the United States, not to the president.
Okay, so there he is suggesting openly that a Jewish member of the Trump administration is loyal to Israel and apparently is a spy on behalf of Bibi and the evil Zionists. Ted Lieu tweeted that out, and then he tweeted, "It has been brought to my attention that my prior tweet to the ambassador to Israel raises dual loyalty allegations that have historically caused harm to the Jewish community. That's a legitimate concern. I'm therefore deleting the tweet." Well, he also said it like twice on CNN. So there it is, that as well. My favorite response came courtesy of Bernie Sanders, who's wildly anti-Israel. Yes, he is Jewish by birth. He is not Jewish by any sort of religious practice. But he came forth and he says, Well, if they're going to reject American Congress people, then maybe we should reject U.S. aid to Israel. Bernie Sanders saying the dumbest possible thing.
The idea that a member of the United States Congress cannot visit a nation, which, by the way, we support to the tune of billions and billions of dollars, is clearly an outrage. And if Israel doesn't want members of the United States Congress to visit their country to get a first-hand look at what's going on, and I've been there many, many times, but if he doesn't want members to visit, maybe he can respectfully decline the billions of dollars that we give to Israel.
Okay, so why is this so stupid? Because the people who vote against that aid are the people that Israel is barring. Right? Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are people who vote against that aid. Sanders is suggesting that Israel should now lose the aid for banning those people. It's just insane. But coming up, we're going to be talking with Alan West. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Do you want more wealth, power, and influence? Well, I can teach you how to have all of that and a lot more on my popular podcast. Hi, I'm Jason Stapleton, a successful entrepreneur, business coach, award-winning film producer, and investor with a unique take on culture and success. Join me 3 times a week as I share insights on creating a more powerful, wealthy, and influential life. Listen and subscribe to my show, Wealth, Power, and Influence, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Westwood One, everyone's listening.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to wavecleanwater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to wavecleanwater.com. That's wavecleanwater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, former U.S. Congressperson for Florida's 22nd District and director of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Lieutenant Colonel West, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me on, Ben, and happy National Airborne Day to you.
Oh, well, to you too, sir. Well, apparently you have a big announcement. Yes, you are running to be the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. So what is spurring this decision?
Well, you know, Ben, when you sit down and you think about the ideological battle that is happening in America between constitutional conservatism and progressive socialism, Texas is on the front lines. And the left, there have been many national articles that have written about it. They think that Texas is within their grasp. And when you go back and you think about what, how they flipped Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, this movement has come out of California. Now is knocking on the doors of the Lone Star State. And Texas, you know, has transitioned to really a purple state when you look at the fact that the left controls all of our major population centers. And so it's time to make a stand. It's time to get our message out there. It's time to make sure that we keep Texas in the column that says red and the column of growth, opportunity, and prosperity.
We're sitting with Alan West. So, Alan, when you talk about how we keep Texas from turning purple and then turning blue, what do you think is the strategy here? Because we are watching as a lot of the suburbs are being turned purple. We've seen four different congresspeople from Texas say they are not going to run in 2020. We saw in the Texas state legislative elections big losses for Republicans last time around. So what's the best strategy for keeping Texas red?
Well, I tell you one of the best strategies, when I look at the fact that, you know, we do have these four retiring Congress members, I think that's a great opportunity to get new, fresh, young, vigorous constitutional conservatives in there. But I think, Ben, we've got to take our message into those urban centers and into those suburban areas, especially here in Texas, where you have so many people that are moving here because of the economy and because of the business growth that we have. I mean, Toyota North America has left California and come here to Texas. 50 of your Fortune 500 companies are here, and we have to get them to understand why these businesses and corporations, why small businesses are thriving here in Texas because of those conservative policies. And we don't do a good job messaging. And I think that another one of the things we have to look at are Hispanic and Black communities who are conservative in nature. We need to be talking about school choice, restoring the family. We don't want to see a repeat and a replication of what you see in Chicago or Baltimore in the major urban centers here in Texas and then spreading out to the suburban areas.
Well, given the fact that Texas is trending toward the purple, how do you think that President Trump's politics play into this? Because he is less popular than sort of generic Republican in the state of Texas. He obviously won the state pretty handily, but he has been losing popularity ever since. What do you think that President Trump's strategy should be with regard to Texas in the near future?
Well, I will tell you, we have to be very concerned. Mitt Romney won Texas by 16 percentage points. President Trump won it 4 years later by 9. And in November of 2018, Senator Cruz only won Texas by 3 percentage points. I would say that what President Trump has to do is continue to focus on the politics of his strong economy. He has to focus on better education opportunities. He has to focus on protecting our southern border. The people down in our Rio Grande Valley area are being terrorized by the drug cartels now freely operating on this side of the border. And we don't want to see people in the state of Texas, criminal, illegal immigrants and things of this nature. So I would say that the president has to focus on the policies and move a little bit away from, let's be very honest, a personality that many people see as toxic, especially out in the suburban areas and with suburban women.
Well, that also raises questions as to how you think that Texas Republicans ought to handle the area of immigration. It's sort of a dicey area only because the rhetoric around immigration has become so toxic. It seems like there's broad agreement that we have to take care of our border and deal with the people who are here, and yet the issues become so incredibly polarized. What's the best way for Texas Republicans to deal with immigration, particularly given the fact that Texas Republicans do overperform with the Hispanic population in Texas as opposed to the Hispanic population in, say, California?
Well, I think we need to talk about the criminal element. We need to talk about, like I say, how it supports the drug cartel operations here. We need to talk about the human and sex trafficking issue that is really becoming more and more prevalent here in Texas, Houston and Dallas in particular. And we need to talk about how the open porous border leads itself to allowing Islamic terrorists and jihadists to be able to come across that border as well. So the thing is, we have to talk about how illegal immigration has an adverse effect on the lives of the citizens of the state of Texas and the legal residents that are here in the state of Texas. And we need to bring it home so that people realize that. We need to talk about the effects it has on our schools and our healthcare systems. And I think that's the important thing that makes it a not so much the emotional, heart-tugging thing. It has to be about how does this affect you and how what we can do to, you know, to solve this problem and rectify this problem, but we have to stand up for our rule of law.
One more question for you, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. And this is sort of off topic and not with regard to Texas.
No.
There's a lot of talk about the President of the United States, President Trump, putting forth an Afghanistan plan, making arrangements to withdraw from Afghanistan. Obviously, he served in the military with distinction. What do you make of the plans that you're hearing with regard to withdrawing from Afghanistan?
Well, I will tell you, having spent 2.5 years in Afghanistan, the thing that we lost the momentum with is that we did not put pressure on the Taliban's sanctuaries. You know, you're not going to be able to deal effectively with Afghanistan if you're not going to deal with the terror sanctuaries that they have established in Pakistan. And until we have someone that has the type of courage and vision and insight to do that, it's just the same as in Vietnam. When we did not do anything about the sanctuaries in Laos and Cambodia, you just allowed the enemy to stage. So I think that the most important thing is we have to be prepared for a resurgence of the Taliban, and the Taliban once again will bring in ISIS. They will have the sanctuary there, and they will be able to launch attacks on out. Kabul is not that important. The outlying areas, the tribal areas, that's what's important, and that's where we need to be able to have an impact and influence.
Well, that's Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Alan, thanks so much for joining the program. Good luck on your run. He's running for chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Really appreciate your time, sir.
WestForTexas.com. That's WEST, the number 4, and Texas.com. So please.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bassiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bassiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bassiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bassiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bassiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. One of the things that you have to love about the media is how hard they try to be objective. I mean, they try really, really hard to be objective. Every single day, they think to themselves, how can we put out facts, facts that matter? You know, how can we ensure that we are as objective as possible? And that's why they actually just craft the narratives and then openly talk about the narratives they're crafting. Tim Baquette is the executive editor of the New York Times. And according to the Washington Examiner, he said recently that after the Mueller report, the paper has to shift the focus of its coverage from the Trump-Russia affair to the president's alleged racism. Because this is what newspapers do, you see. What newspapers do is they create entire investigative teams based on the narrative they seek to push. They don't just have reporters that cover particular areas of American life. They don't just have, like, business reporters or White House correspondents or Middle East reporters. Instead, they have to structure entire teams around Trump-Russia. Why? Well, because Democrats say so. And then, when that's over, when that all falls apart, then they have to restructure their team so that they can focus in on Trump's a racist. Because that's how news coverage gets done. It's not covering the news. It is formulating a narrative and then putting news into that basket. That's the goal. Dean Baquette says, we built our newsroom to cover one story, and we did it truly well. First of all, you shouldn't build your newsroom to cover one story, guys. You should use the reporters who are generally good in a particular area to cover the thing. You don't build your newsroom to cover Mueller. He said, now we have to regroup and shift resources and emphasis to take on a different story. Why? Are there, like, racism writers who are better than Mueller reporter writers? Is that the idea here? Baquette explained, quote, chapter one of the story of Donald Trump, not only for our newsroom, but frankly for our readers, was, did Donald Trump have untoward relationships with the Russians? And was there obstruction of justice? That was a really hard story, by the way. Let's not forget that. We set ourselves up to cover that story. I'm going to say it. We won 2 Pulitzer Prizes covering that story. And I think we covered that story better than anybody else. But then came the Mueller report. And it turns out that the whole thing fell apart. The day Bob Mueller walked off that witness stand, two things happened, said Baquette. Our readers who want Donald Trump to go away suddenly thought, holy bleep, Bob Mueller is not going to do it. And Donald Trump got a little emboldened politically, I think, because, you know, for obvious reasons. And I think that the story changed. A lot of the stuff we're talking about started to emerge like 6 or 7 weeks ago. We're a tiny bit flat-footed. I mean, that's what happens when a story looks a certain way for 2 years, right? So what exactly was the story changing? Well, he says, I think we've got to change. So the New York Times is going to restaff in order to go after Trump another way. Well, this does make the New York Times sounds indistinguishable from a Democratic opposition research firm, right? They went from Trump Russia to Trump is a racist, and they're going to hire different people to do it and reorganize their organization to do it. It's pretty amazing. But Kat says, I mean, the vision for coverage for the next 2 years is what I talked about earlier. How do we cover a guy who makes these kind of remarks? How do we cover the world's reaction to him? How do we do that while continuing to cover his policies? How do we cover America that's become so divided by Donald Trump? Remember, this is the executive editor of the very objective New York Times. Really, is it America that was divided by Donald Trump, or was it possible that America was already divided and that's why Donald Trump is president? There's a town hall. It was spurred by angry reaction, both inside and outside the New York Times, to a headline that was supposedly not properly anti-Trump. That headline we talked about at the time was Trump urges unity versus racism after the El Paso shooting. So all of the staffers of the New York Times held a struggle session with the executive editor of the New York Times. Now, let me explain something to you. As a person who edits a website, let's say my employees came to me and they said, you know, that headline we ran, it was really bad. I would think about it. I think maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. And then I'd make an independent decision about it. You know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't then have a struggle session where I make myself subject to the interns. That's not a thing that editors are supposed to do. And yet we see this over and over. At The Atlantic, we see this. I saw Jeffrey Goldberg holding struggle sessions with Ta-Nehisi Coates and the rest of the staff about whether Kevin Williamson could remain. And now we've got the New York Times and their little unpaid interns and staffers who are having struggle sessions with the executive editor to try and dictate to him how the newspaper's coverage should go. I think one of the reasons people have such a problem with a headline like this is because they care so much, one staffer said to Biquette. They depend on the New York Times. They are depending on us to keep kicking down the doors and getting through because they need that right now. It's a very scary time. This is the stuff that was said at this meeting. It was leaked to Slate. Upon which, Biquette vowed to transition to a new vision for the paper for the next 2 years. He said, how do we grapple with all the stuff you're talking about? How do we write about race in a thoughtful way? Something we haven't done in a large way in a long time. To me, that is the vision for coverage. You're going to help us shape that vision. But I think that's what we're going to have to do for the rest of the next 2 years. So basically, they ran a story. The left at the paper didn't like the story. So the editors caved. They took down the headline. They replaced it with another headline. And then they had a struggle session at which staffers ranted about how the paper should cover news through a particular lens. Now, again, there used to be a lens, or at least supposedly a lens. The lens was supposed to be objective journalism. The lens was, here are the facts, nothing but the facts. Now, the lens is all that matters. And so you have staffers ranting at Dean Biquette, saying, quote, I'm wondering to what extent you think that the fact of racism and white supremacy being sort of the foundation of this country should play into our reporting. The foundation of this country? You can say that racism and white supremacy were present at the founding of the country and obviously infect parts of America in different ways. But instead, to say that it is the foundation of the country is absurd. To say that racism and white supremacy are the foundation of America is ridiculous. Racism, racial supremacy, these have been a part of human life for all of human history. It's just called tribalism. It's ugly and it's horrible. And America has been the story of how we overcome those bad parts of ourselves in order to create a better America and fulfill the broader eternal promises of the Declaration of Independence. That's the story of America. But this staffer wants the story of America to be a continuing struggle about how racism has infected every aspect of America, so we have to tear it down. This is why you end up with the 1619 Project, a project of the New York Times, running headlines about how capitalism is a result of slavery, which is absurd. The staffer says, it feels to me like it should be a starting point, you know? Like these conversations about what is racist, what isn't racist. I just feel like racism is in everything. In everything. It should be considered in our science reporting, in our culture reporting, in our national reporting. So now every single story in the New York Times, according to the staffer, should be imbued with the narrative that racism affects everything. The nice thing about this particular narrative is it allows you to call anyone you don't like a racist. They might be secretly a racist. They're infected by white supremacy and all the rest. And so to me, says this staffer, it's less about the individual instances of racism, you know, the stuff that we can in common call out and adjudicate, and sort of how we're thinking about racism and white supremacy as the foundation of all the systems in the country, every system. I mean, that is a wild and insane overstatement. I think particularly as we are launching a 1619 project, I feel like it's going to open us up to even more criticism from people who are like, okay, well, you're saying this and you're producing this big project, but are you guys actually considering this in your daily reporting? And Biquette then agrees, the executive editor. He says, I do think that race has always played a huge part in the American story, and I think that race and understanding of race should be part of how we cover the American story. Sometimes news organizations sort of forget that in the moment. Okay, please explain to me how racism and race are supposed to take a part of the Federal Reserve's inflation policy, like in the now. Explain. I mean, human mind has a capacity to link lots of various issues. I can link almost anything to racism if I choose to do so. I can also link almost everything to broccoli if I choose to do so. The question is, what are the impacts of these various factors on the topic at hand? But according to the New York Times, the only factor that should matter is race and racism. And you can listen to the paternalism here. I mean, one reason, says Dean Baquette, we all signed off on the 1619 Project and made it so ambitious and expansive was to teach our readers to think a little more like that. Right, that they're going to teach the readers that racism lies at the root of the American experiment. America is deeply evil. It was founded in racism and slavery and suffering. That is the real story of America. Yeah, so I think we should all trust the New York Times with mainstream media coverage. Insane. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to an example of some of the beautiful media coverage, what media coverage looks like when it is infused with a nice liberal sense of race. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, Bernie Sanders, socialism, these used to be things that were ridiculous, like 5 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, these are mainstream attributes of the American political discourse. Well, more and more politicians are now claiming that top-down socialism is the prescription for all ills. Things like price controls when it comes to drug prices. Well, when it comes to Medicare prescription drugs, a lot of folks are feeling the burn to abandon market forces that have actually made Medicare pretty popular. Some in Congress favor socialist policies that would harm both innovation and our access to life-saving treatments. See, here's the thing. When you seek to control prices without regard to market negotiation, very often you end up actually creating shortages, reducing innovation, reducing investment. America leads the way in medical innovation, offering hope that breakthroughs for Alzheimer's, cancer, MS are just over the horizon. Price controls are not the way to accomplish those breakthroughs. Protect America's innovation. Tell the Senate to stand strong against price controls and for free market competition. Learn more at freemarketmedicare.org. That's freemarketmedicare.org, paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Once more, freemarketmedicare.org. Okay, so this new sense of the New York Times on race. Let's see how this plays out when it comes to a couple of stories from just today. So over on MSNBC, my friend Noah Rothman over at Commentary Magazine, he's a commentator over there, and he was talking about the fact that the media have completely ignored Elizabeth Warren's racial pandering, that she, over the past week, has said that Michael Brown was murdered in Ferguson, which is racially inflammatory, racially polarizing. We talked about it earlier this week. He points this out. Members of the media, who are so attuned to issues of race, you know, so right on the money, they immediately suggest that what Rothman says is out of bounds and crazy.
Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not dangerous.
I mean, I agree, but the verging on rank racial agitation is precisely the biggest problem I have with this president.
Elizabeth Warren's rank racial agitation.
This president racially agitates every other day, and no, I won't accept it in a Democrat either.
Well, but they're not
okay, again.
They're
again,
not again, the same thing.
Let's move on. But I mean, I'm sorry. It is. The false equivalency there is breathtaking.
Okay, that is not what Rothman was saying. He wasn't even comparing Warren and Trump per se. He was saying the stuff he doesn't like about Trump in terms of racial agitation. He also doesn't like it when Elizabeth Warren does it. Elizabeth Warren earlier this week lied. She claimed that a person who was not responsible for a racial murder was responsible for a racial murder. Okay, and nobody in the press seems to want to ask her about that. Nobody in the press seems to think that that is a worthy topic of conversation. So do I trust those people when it comes to teaching Americans about their history and how racism lies at the root of all of our problems? No, I don't. I also don't trust the media when it comes to coverage of basic statistics. There's a piece in the science section of the LA Times, getting real woke. Getting shot by police is a leading cause of death for black men in America. Okay, that's true. But this ignores a few of the factors that lead to this. Okay, listen to this article. About 1 in 1,000 black men and boys in America can expect to die at the hands of police, according to a new analysis of deaths involving law enforcement officers. That makes them 2.5 times more likely than white men and boys to die during an encounter with cops. Okay, this does not take into account the circumstances of the encounters. It does not take into account under what conditions the encounters take place. There's a full study from Harvard University by Roland Fryer, and what it found is that black men were not being disproportionately shot and killed by police. That was not a thing that was happening. And yet the entire article is about how black people are singled out, and then how being singled out by police has negative ramifications for your life. Well, I'm sure that being singled out by police does have negative ramifications for your life. You know what else has negative ramifications for your life? The media falsely claiming the police are out to get you and murder you based on your race. So do I trust these folks to bring you a nuanced view of race in America? No. No, I don't. And we'll get to, in just a second, it's Friday, it's time for Uncle Ben's SJW story time. We'll get to that in just a second. First, I'd like to take a moment to remind you, there's a whole other world to this radio show over at DailyWire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to The Ben Shapiro Show? Don't let it happen again. Head on over to DailyWire.com. You can watch all 3 hours of my radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. You don't only get my show, by the way. You also get Andrew Klavan's show and Matt Walsh's show and Michael Knowles' show. We also have a special deal for annual subscribers this month. If you are a brand new annual subscriber over at DailyWire.com, you get the first month, you get an additional month for free. So that's pretty awesome. Go over, check us out at DailyWire.com and subscribe. It always helps us out and helps prevent the idiots at Media Matters from harming the shows that you love. You should always subscribe to the shows that you love. You can help us out by going over to DailyWire.com and subscribing today. Already coming up, it's time for Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. Let's have a little bit of fun on a Friday. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's a Friday. And on Fridays, every week at this time, we do something that's fun. We like to call it Uncle Ben's SJW Story Time. And for those who don't know what that is, this is where I take a children's book and then we make sure that it is appropriate for woke audiences. Because, you know, there are all these people telling you out there that children are not being made the targets of woke propaganda. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not the truth. That there are plenty of woke books that are appropriate for your children, that are perfect for indoctrinating your children into social justice warriordom. Today's book is called They, She, He, Easy as ABC. Welcome to Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. This book, by the way, is by Maya and Matthew. It's a gender wheel book, which is the best kind of wheel, of course. They. New friends are everywhere waiting to play. Out on the dance floor, we love to sing they. They is a way to let everyone be. No one left out and everyone free. I don't even know what we're talking about, do you? I'm confused right off the bat. Your three-year-old will be similarly confused. Then when we are friends, we sing they, she, he, she, making it as easy as A, B, C, D. Now, see, that's not as easy. See, A, B, C, D, those are letters of the alphabet. They, she, he, she, one of those words doesn't have a meaning. One is a plural pronoun, and two have specific meanings, but I have a feeling that's not where you're going. Ari loves to arabesque. They hold their pose with ease. Brody is a breakdancer. Brody loves to freeze. Okay, so Brody is a name. That's fine. Ari is a person, like a single human being. That shouldn't be they. That should be he. Or if Ari is a girl, then she. But Ari is they. Corey leaps high like a cat. She springs and leaps and bounds. See, now I understand who Corey is because Corey is a girl. Diego drums and dances. Tree has all the sounds. What? Is there a tree in there? There's not even a tree in this picture. Like, tree is a word. It has a meaning. It's a giant plant. Comes out of the ground. It's got a trunk, branches, leaves, the whole deal, man. It's fantastic. You know, they're really great. They expel oxygen. They take in carbon dioxide. They're really important trees. But I don't think Diego's a tree. I think Diego's a human. But tree means something different now that I don't understand. Ebony flies everywhere. They spread their arms like wings. Fawn is free as a flower. Fawn can bring the spring. Again, using names, fine. Ebony, she's single human. Why is Ebony they? Gia's going fast and strong. She's dancing on the go. Harvey's heart beats happily. Hip-hop makes her flow. And then there's a picture that apparently is supposed to be a boy, but who thinks that he's a girl, and they're calling him her. So now none of these words have meaning. Indigo's into insects. G loves the buzzing vibe. I know less about Indigo than any other child in this book, because G, like Z-E, is how this word is spelled. Now, normally, if you don't understand a word when you're reading, you use the context of the words around it to understand what the hell this means. Do you have any idea, anything about Indigo? You may as well just say, Glu loves the buzzing vibe. Because Glu has just as much meaning as G. Jorge jams to jazzy tunes. He or they can jive. See, Jorge is a boy, but also might not be a boy and is plural for no reason. Kelly can kick super high. His heart lives in the sky. But Kelly has ponytails, so Kelly is a girl who's a boy. Lord sings of lofty heights. Their songs let them fly. Marley is a star mermaid. He or she flows with the sea. Okay, so now it's he or she, but I thought that if you are he or she, then you are they, correct? Because they is a plural pronoun, but we apply it to a he who thinks he's a she or a she who thinks he's a he. You with me still? At all? Nathan is a nesting bird. He just wants to be. Nathan apparently is the only, like, person with a biological sex in this entire book. Ocean's arms are open wide. Tree swings and sways about. Another human that's a tree. There's some strange disease of botany that has infected half the children in this book. And they are turning into actual bushes. They're turning into, like, herbs. I'm confused. Paul pretends to be a plant. Paul grows up and out. Quetzal is so quiet. He rests just like a queen. Okay. Is that meant to be a slur? Like, I don't even know where to go with that. Like, that's not... The metaphor isn't that great. Also, what... Are we talking like a queen, like royalty, or are you trying to use a slur in a way that owns the slur? Okay. Renee is into rainbows. He recreates the scene. Sky is like a star so bright. All the pronouns are right. All of them. Every single one. You can use any of them. Amazing. And then we don't know anything about the person. Ty is tiger in the night. He claims his own might. Una is a unicorn. They prance to their own sound. Now, here's the thing. If Una is a unicorn, then why are they using they? Shouldn't there be a pronoun just for unicorns? And let me ask a question. Why isn't Una a unicorn? Maybe that's not a metaphor. Maybe Una is, in fact, a unicorn. If Una identifies as a unicorn, well, who's to suggest that Una doesn't erupt every so often and magma pours out of Una's nose? Who is to suggest that? I mean, maybe Ty is a tiger. Viola is a volcano. Her power's in her ground. Oh, sorry, it was Viola who's the volcano. So, sorry, the magma's coming out of Viola. Sorry, Una's a unicorn. Una's just a horse with a horn. Viola's the volcano. So, Viola, maybe magma's pouring out of her head. Ren whistles when she dances. She knows just what to do. Xander exaggerates moves. They're extremely cool. Yoli yells yes joyously. Their voice becomes the song. Zahara zooms in and out. G knows that G belongs. Now's your chance. We need your moves. Join the dance. There's always room. Okay, and then just a picture of all these kids. And then they try to give actual definitions, but...
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. A government agency, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, experienced a computer outage which delayed screenings for some international passengers.
We learned that the computer system that Customs and Border Protection uses to admit international travelers into the country had an issue, and that affected their ability to process passengers at Dulles International Airport, as well as several others around the country.
Micah Lillard, a spokesman for Dulles Airport and others in the Washington, D.C. area, Customs and Border Protection, said systems were operating again by early evening on the East Coast. American taxpayers could be on the hook for massive amounts of damages paid to families of migrant children who claim that they were abused in federally funded foster care programs.
The foster care centers were intended to house the children while authorities worked to connect them with parents, relatives, or sponsors. But families say many of those children were sexually, physically, or emotionally abused while in the centers. With more than 3,000 children separated from families at the border in recent years, hundreds of lawsuits are expected. And officials say damages could eventually run into the billions of dollars.
That is correspondent Wally Hines. A judge has sentenced the mastermind of the largest organic food fraud scheme in U.S. history to 10 years in prison.
U.S. District Judge C.J. Williams says Randy Constant was responsible for a massive fraud that did extreme and incalculable damage to consumers and shook public confidence in the nation's organic food industry. Williams ordered Constant, a 60-year-old farmer from Chillicothe, Missouri, to serve 122 months in federal prison. Earlier in the day, Williams also gave shorter prison terms to three Overton, Nebraska farmers who were part of the scheme. The four admitted that they grew non-organic corn and soybeans and a small amount of certified organic grains and falsely marketed them all as certified organic.
Correspondent Keith Peters, more on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
This is what flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our commercials. You may have seen one there on TV occasionally.
And speaking of motorcycle insurance rates, did you know that our basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year? And speaking of insurance, I just love...
And this is how that same commercial sounds on your motorcycle. Yeah, everything's better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
There is speculation that China may be ready to intervene in Hong Kong, where more protests are planned for this weekend.
Pictures of the People's Armed Police, this paramilitary police force gathered in the city of Shenzhen, just on the other side of the Hong Kong border, are of course being circulated widely. It's obviously meant to signal that that is there, certainly as a last resort. Whether there is really preparations, we just can't tell. And of course, there's a certain danger. Once China starts telling its own public that forces are readied to take control, and with the images and the messaging about this city being in the grip of chaos, there's a danger that it may have its own momentum.
The BBC's John Subworth, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has issued a warning to members that coffee is prohibited no matter how fancy the name. Vaping is banned despite the alluring flavors. News and analysis at townhall.com. Virgin Galactic is unveiling its spaceport in New Mexico that will be the starting point that they hope someday for customers going into orbit. Correspondent Ed Donahue has more on the story.
It's part passenger lounge and part mission control in a remote spot in the desert. George Whitesides is Virgin Galactic CEO.
We want to have this be a remarkable historic facility that when people arrive at, they feel, yes, this is a place that I'm going to be going to space from.
Company officials have said a small number of test flights are still needed.
I know I personally almost have to pinch myself that we're now working out of a real operational spaceport.
Critics suggest the taxpayer-funded project was unnecessarily wasteful. Virgin says about 600 people have reserved a seat into space at $250,000 a ticket. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Necesitamos incluir cada persona en el éxito de esta economía. Pero si queremos hacer eso, necesitamos incluir cada persona en nuestra democracia. Cada votante necesitamos la representación y cada voz necesitamos escuchar.
Y dos más margaritas, por favor, y dos toallas. Muchas gracias. They're so enlightened. They're so multicultural. He's polylingual. He's not sure what his gender is. He's a Democrat and he's running for president. He believes the world can't live without him. The Senate is not big enough for him. It's the presidency or bust for old Beto F. O'Rourke. Good Friday and welcome. We are at 888-630-9625. It's not the literal Good Friday on your calendar, but I'm just wishing you a happy Friday. Friday, we got another. We got that. That means, I think, that there is a weekend looming. Weekend looming. I get to see, because I'm a lucky guy, I get to begin my weekend at, you know, shortly after noon on Friday. That's pretty good. Extends my weekend, if you will. Beto O'Rourke, he is really something. This guy, he thinks he's running for the presidency of the United States. Doesn't he know better? Honestly, should he just get back on a skateboard, maybe close his mouth when he's standing still, and go back and ask his mom why he's called Beto again? Because his name is Robert Francis O'Rourke, and he is, I don't want to stereotype, but this guy is a dumb Irishman. He is not so bright. And can you call him a dumb Irishman? Is that okay? Or is that an insult to his people? Is that like calling him Fredo, the Irish equivalent of calling him Fredo? What if you call him a drunk or something like that? Would that be, It's so complicated these days. The Democrats have placed traps everywhere, and you step in them without even realizing. But you can't even make fun of Irish guys anymore. What is that? I think you can, actually, because they're, as long as they're straight, I think it's okay. You can say anything about them. And then there's Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. These two are really something in this whole Israel thing. Rashida Tlaib apparently has her old grandmother. I'm still looking for the picture of the grandmother. I'm told, who does she look like? She looks like Willem Dafoe. The grandmother looks like Willem Dafoe. In which movie do you think? And the, looks like, well, Willem Dafoe always looks the same in every movie he's in, I guess. But, oh yeah, there she is. I see her now. She's got the headdress on and kind of a fun medieval era garb there. She's got, oh, there she, oh, that's a good one. I hadn't seen that one. That's good. But she's where, over here, she's got, I think her clothes are from the Crusades. I think that she's got, she might have a scimitar nearby too, doing utilations and all of that good stuff. And Rashida Tlaib and, Ilhan Omar, they wanted to take a trip to the Holy Land, to Israel, the land of the Jewish people. But they hate the Jews, so it was kind of complicated for them because all the hatred and the anti-Semitism and the racism and the genocidal stuff and that whole bondage discipline thing, the boycott, divest, sanction, because they're big fans of the boycott, divestment, and sanction, whatever it is, anti-Israel thing. They're very anti-Israel. Yet they wanted to go to Israel. To Rashida Tlaib, her grandmother lives there, her grandmother Willem Dafoe in a burqa, and it's not really a burqa, but it's a kind of medieval garb, and she wanted to go, so she's, my grandmother is 90 years old and I have to go visit my grandmother, and so Israel said, well, that's fine, we said all along you could come visit your grandmother, we just want you members of Congress coming here to protest against us, you know, our greatest ally. Not the Democrat Party is not their greatest ally, they're not an ally at all of Israel. The Democratic Party, not an ally, an adversary, an enemy of Israel. You know, Barack Obama tried to overthrow the Netanyahu government there, sent in his hitmen to his political weed. They're all, you know, little weasels, but they go and they work on laptops and basements, and they tried to undermine Benjamin Netanyahu and get him unelected. Now, that was what the Democrat Party did, because he's a strong Israeli leader, and they don't want that. They like weakness and people that will bow to their phony international order and so on. But in any case, Rashida, but honestly, the Obama administration did everything they could to undermine Israel, and the Trump administration has been the most pro-Israel presidency since Harry Truman, when the State of Israel was created. And honestly, I think that may be entirely true. The Trump administration more pro-Israel than any administration since Harry Truman. And the Obama administration was the most anti-Israel administration, at least since Jimmy Carter, and maybe ever. Honestly, I mean, sided with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, for God's sake, and giving Iran the gateway to nuclear weapons with their ballistic missile program, continuing apace. But never mind that for the time being. No, that was a real good deal, that Iranian nuclear deal. Obama did it, and Boltnick, so it's got to be good. It's got to be real good. It's not. It's the worst deal ever. It's also the first nuclear deal the United States has ever entered into without the Senate signing off, because it was a deal. It wasn't a treaty. It was just Obama and Boltnick. And Boltnick, they, you know, they took him to the cleaners. And that's why he looks so stiff. It's a little extra starch. And then Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. Now, we know, what is it with that CNN anchor reading the Rashida Tlaib tweet? That's always a great thing, because it gives you a pretty good idea of the people that we're talking about here. They're to say that they're anti-Israel, but Adolf Eichmann was anti-Israel. Here's just a little sampling, just a little sip from a spoon of what today's Democrat Party is all about.
You tweeted, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel.
That was Ilhan Omar's tweet. Did I say it was Rashida Tlaib? I apologize. That's Ilhan Omar. Now they're in they're in this together. Make no mistake about it. May Allah awaken the infidels to the evil of the Jews. That's the party line over there, I think. In any case, they wanted to go to Israel. And then we learned yesterday, well, President Trump sent tweeted out about them, about how they're no friends of Israel. And then Israel Netanyahu's office or a cabinet official's office said, you know what, you're right. We're not going to allow these two members of Congress into the United States. Not like it's unheard of. The Obama administration banned a member of the Israeli Knesset, which is their legislature, from entering the United States. But, you know, Obama was extremely anti-Israel. And you know, he had his Jeremiah Wright. You remember Jeremiah Wright was his spiritual guidepost, Barack Obama's spiritual guidepost. He was a racist who hated America, who wore dashikis, who celebrated the attacks of September 11th. On the United States. He, chickens coming home to roost, you may remember. And then when President Obama was elected President of the United States, his pastor and spiritual guidepost was asked, well, are you going to meet with Obama?
Have you spoken with him since he's been in the White House?
You ain't going to let him talk to me.
You know them Jews ain't going to let him talk to me. You know them Jews ain't going to let him talk to me. This is today's Democrat Party. You're just going to have to come to terms with it, you know, if you're a Democrat. And if you're Jewish, yeah, go ahead. You know, have a heap and helping of their hospitality. They're not on your side. Trust me on this. See if you can name give me the complete name of Adolf Hitler's political party. Can you? Again, I'll give you a penny. That's good stuff. So Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, who are virulently anti-Israel. There was the Democrats, in a phony baloney effort to raise money from the Jewish community, held a phony baloney vote in the House of Representatives recently, condemning the BDS movement. And guess who didn't vote for that? I think 17 Democrats, isn't that right, voted against the resolution that was put up condemning the BDS movement. But there are members of Congress who are part of the BDS movement, and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are among them, and they voted against the resolution. It's pretty straightforward stuff. You're anti-Israel, ally of the United States, the only real democracy in the Middle East, the only place where women have rights, the only place where there's LGBT rights in the entire region of the world. And, these Democrats are dead set on lynching Israel, in favor of Hamas and Hezbollah and the Muslim Brotherhood and Iran. And this is today's Democratic Party. Honestly, Barack Obama gave the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism $150 billion to do with what they will. You know, you think any mischief might be involved in this? They haven't blown up a Jewish center in South America lately, but I'm sure they'll get back to it. In any case, Rashida Tlaib. And the line, and now the news media is saying, oh, Israel reversed their position and says that Rashida Tlaib can visit her grandmother. As Michael Piercy correctly pointed out this morning, that is not a reversal of their position. That's been their position all along, that she has relatives in the West Bank. She can come visit relatives in the West Bank. They don't want her coming in to engage in anti-Israel protests as a Democrat member of the House of Representatives in the United States. And by the way, you know, these people, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, planning on visiting Israel, they put together their itinerary and they didn't use the word Israel. That's how virulently anti-Israel they are. In Saudi Arabia, the royal family produces maps, the House of Saud. I've been there. I've seen this. They have world maps, and where Israel is, they have Palestine. Now, and in many Arab countries, they do this because they're hostile to Israel and they don't recognize the existence of the state of Israel. Now, the Democrats have members of Congress that don't recognize the existence of the state of Israel. And these two women had their itinerary put together, and they had them visiting Palestine, not Israel. So they don't recognize, like Saudi Arabia, like Iran, they don't recognize the existence of the state of Israel. They are overtly hostile to the state of Israel, which is the Jewish state. And you can't be anti-Israel without being anti-Jewish people. It's not possible. You can't, I'm anti-Japan, but I'm not anti the Japanese people. Oh, really? Well, it's the land of the Japanese people. Oh, yes, I don't recognize the existence of Japan. That belongs to Korea and, you know, whatever. And that's what these people are doing, these Democrats are doing. You may remember, who was that, Rashida Tlaib's office? In her map, she was elected to the House of Representatives by Democrats who voted for her. She's a radical and an extremist, and she's anti-American, and she's a racist and an anti-Semite. I know they go around calling everybody racist. Word doesn't actually have any meaning anymore. But she put a post-it in her office. Someone went into her office and the world map, they put a post-it up over Israel and wrote Palestine with a red arrow pointing at it. These are like jihadis, basically, when you come right down to it. And they are extremely anti-Israel. And they had this meeting scheduled, this travel schedule, and they're going to go to what they called Palestine because they're that hostile to Israel. And when they went to, as two members of Democrat members of Congress, they were not meeting with any Israelis. No Israeli official, no Israeli government official, no Israeli, hey, let's show you the very fine Holocaust Museum we have in Jerusalem. None of that. No, they weren't doing any of that. They were shirking the Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Jewish people in favor of the people that are hell-bent on the destruction of the State of Israel, which they don't recognize, just like these two Democrat members of Congress. And then Israel announced, they said, well, no, look, Rashida Tlaib, first, President Trump tweeted out these people are hostile. It would show weakness if you let them in. The Israeli government said, you know what? This is happening just as we were going off the air yesterday. And Israel said, you're right. We're not going to let them in. And they said, of course, you know, if you have family members here, you can come. And they said that even in the initial statements. And then, they played victim, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. They're the victims. Let's not forget who the real victims are here. And it's the genocidal racists and anti-Semites who are the real victims here, because that's left world, all right? You know, like West World, we should have Left World. That'd be fun, actually. We should make a movie called Left World, and it would be completely crazy. It would be berserk. We can't get Yul Brynner to play the, but that's, I think we ought to take a look at that. Left World. That'd be funny, where we have robots and they're all crazy and they murder everybody and steal all your stuff and promise you everything is going to be great. Man. Amazing. Amazing stuff. So then Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib was told, oh no, you have your grandmother here. Who looks like one of America's leading actors, and you can come visit because those are the rules that we have, and that's we're an open and free democracy, unlike the regimes that you support, and you can come visit because we're much more open-minded than you are. So that's what Israel said. And Rashida Tlaib was, well, I have to go see my grandmother. It might be my last chance to see my grandmother. And Willem Dafoe and Dreg. And now, just in the last half hour or so, Rashida Tlaib has announced that she is rejecting Israel's offer to visit Israel because she's overtly hostile to them, and she has to demonstrate her hostility at every step of the way. The New York Daily News, Rashida Tlaib rejects Israel's offer for humanitarian visit to see Palestinian grandma. That's right. Friday, she rejected Israel's offer to allow a purely humanitarian visit. That's what they call it. It's not like they made it up just for her. When you have relatives and, you know, you're hostile to Israel because you're a racist and anti-Semite, they'll still let you visit because they're more open-minded than you are. She says, I need to visit my grandmother. And they say, well, okay, come visit your grandmother. And she said, I'm not going to visit my grandmother. Listen, she's hostile, even in the tweet. I have the tweet for you in just a minute. She continues to be hostile to that. I think she should be banned for life.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable. But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms. Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Like, why do I have to pay a full gym membership when I don't even use all the equipment? Like the rowing machine. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing a ton of manual lake travel these days.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurance.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, we'll call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/19.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 0.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
They wanted to go visit a country that doesn't exist. It's called Palestine. There are other countries that don't exist anymore, a lot of them just from my lifetime. You can't visit the Soviet Union anymore, thanks to Ronald Reagan. He should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize. You can't visit East Germany anymore, thanks to Ronald Reagan. You can't visit Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia anymore. There are countries in my lifetime that no longer exist. Used to exist in Africa, in Asia. Things change. Try to keep up with history. These two women can't do that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to John calling from Tyson's Corner in Virginia. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you, that's it.
You bet. John?
Yes, hi.
Hey.
How are you, Chris?
I'm great.
Good Friday to you.
Welcome.
So, Chris, I've called in before. This is John the Arab. So, you know, I'm a Christian Arab American.
Uh-huh.
My parents are Arab immigrants.
Uh-huh.
They're Christian Palestinians.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit insulting when you say it's the land of the Jewish people. I mean, there are a lot of Christians that live there today.
Sure.
That have always lived there.
Yeah, but it's not called the Christian state, is it?
Well, it shouldn't be called any religious state. That's my point.
Well, Jewish people are, that's an ethnicity in addition to being a, and, but listen, you're right, John, that it is the one country in the region where Jews, Arabs, Muslims, Christians, atheists, gay people, straight people all live together in harmony, more or less.
Right, but to say that it's a land for one group only is not accurate. It's
well,
not at all accurate.
Well, you know, that's not unfair. Your point is taken, and it's not inaccurate. Your point is absolutely correct.
And I am a Republican. I'm a proud Christian conservative.
Uh-huh.
I'm an Orthodox Christian.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have relatives that make fun of me because I'm a Republican and I'm a conservative.
Sure.
I support Trump. I voted for him. I gave him donations.
Yeah.
But, you know, on this particular point, you know, the Palestinian people have been there for a very long time. My parents, when they were born, actually, they still have their birth certificates. When they were born, which was before 1940.
Yeah, I've run out of time on you, sadly.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
No American administration has done more for Israel's security than Barack Obama's.
Boltneck. I don't know if he's that dumb or if he just didn't know, but that's the opposite of the truth. That's not only untrue, that's the opposite of the truth. President Trump, on the other hand, has been the best friend that Israel's had forever. Now, John, I ran out of time on John, and I apologize for that because I wanted to let him finish. He was talking as we were going to break there. It was required. Talking about his parents who were born in what is now Israel before the creation of the State of Israel, and he started to talk about their birth certificates, which doubtless said Palestine. Now, that was a temporary state of being and a British protectorate and kind of colonialism and last gasp, and before that it was part of the Ottoman Empire, and before that it was part of another empire, and it's changed hands again, and in the Holy Land, going back to the Crusades, has been going back and forth, what with the winged horse and the dream in the middle of the night to the most distant mosque and all of this good stuff, but setting that aside for now. Israel, as John was saying, is, and it's like he's, and I have other friends that are also Christians from what is now Israel, and they may call themselves Palestinian Christians. That's fine. That's all well and good, as they say. That's great. But right now it's Israel, and it was created as the Jewish state, and they didn't kick out all of the Arabs, Muslims, Christians, as the some other groups might kick out all of the Jews and the Christians. You know what I'm saying here? I mean, the reality is pretty simple rules apply here. If Israel's enemies, so many of their neighbors, if Israel's enemies would lay down their arms, there would be peace. If Israel were to lay down their arms, there would be genocide. That's an important reality to keep in mind. That's kind of the zero sum in this game, is that Israel is not the villain here. Israel is not attacking its neighbors. Israel is not promising to destroy the state next door. However, many of their neighbors are promising just that. And it's true. What John says is correct, of course, that Israel is not whatever number of, 3 million, 5 million Jews. It is Arabs. And you can say Palestinians, but they're Arabs, genetically, ethnically, historically, may have lived in a piece of land that was at one point or another called Palestine. Then you have to go back. You can go back to biblical times and all that, which we're not going to do today. Thank you very much. But Israel is not the villain here in this story, in the region. Oh, they're racist. And here they are. And they're being attacked all over the place today by the left for being racist. They love, I mean, everybody's racist. It's you know, hey, Michael, you're a racist. Hey, you're on hold. You're a racist. Everybody's a racist. The guy in the car next to you is a racist. We've got, who is it? Ilhan Omar today talking about how everybody's racist if you're a Trump supporter. This is a big theme with the Democrats. If you're not one of them, then you're a racist. And then they exterminate 40% of the black population and try to destroy the country of Israel. Okay. All right. The party of interning the Japanese. They love FDR. What was the FDR thing yesterday? There was a... Cardi B said her favorite president was FDR. Cardi B is now a historian and like an American thought leader, apparently, Cardi B. She, you know, wants to know where her tax money's going because when you go to prison, you only get two underwears. And now she's a thought leader in the Democratic Party. And she is. She's out there touring, I think, or something, doing appearances with Bernie Sanders. This is the woman who complains so loudly about her tax rates. And she's on the campaign trail with Mr. I'm going to steal everything you ever made. And once you make $50 million, and Cardi B might make $50 million in a year, right? I mean, she might make $50 million, sure, even more than that. And then Bernie wants to take 90 or 95% of it because who the hell are you to make all that money? You didn't build that. He's the state. They've got guns. They're going to take it from you. And he's crazy. And he completely lost all of the lessons of the 20th century. And he wants to relitigate communism, socialism, the Soviet Union, where he honeymooned, by the way. And Cardi B is out there doing this. She said her favorite president is FDR. And to that, I would say, oh, well, he threw all of the Japanese in internment camps. Would you say he was a racist? What do you think? He refused to bomb the rail spurs going into the death camps, even though they apparently knew what was going on there. What do you think about that? He turned around the ship, the St. Louis, loaded with Jews fleeing Nazi tyranny in Germany. He sent them back to the Germans. That's FDR. So, I mean, if we're going to play this game, let's play. Let's tear down all the statues of FDR. What are we doing with an FDR memorial down in Washington, D.C. on the Mall when this is his record, right? I mean, that's his record. And he was developing a nuclear bomb that then would then be dropped on the Japanese by another Democrat. Two of them. Two, not one, two. This is the history of the Democratic Party. So where's the Harry Truman statue to tear down? We should tear that down, too. Chris, I don't actually believe this, but this is going by the way that the left does things. We should bulldoze the FDR Memorial. I think it covers 4 acres or something like that. And we built this fairly recent memorial. And that's got to go. That has to go because in turning the Japanese, turning back the St. Louis, not bombing the rail spurs to the death camps, what kind of a man was this anyway? And what do we have a monument to a monster like that for? That's what I want to know. Cardi B, oh, your favorite president. I guess you must be a racist too. Am I right? That's right. I mean, look, this is the method that they use and these are the standards that they apply. So if we're going to apply these standards, then by all means, let's apply these standards across the board. I've got good news. It's only 445 days until Election Day. Only 445 days until Election Day. That means in another 80 days, it'll be 1 year until Election Day. 80 days from now, it'll be 1 year from Election Day. And Beto, I think Beto is going to be their boy. Can you say their boy? I think you can because he's an Anglo-Caucasian, even though he goes by Beto, which would typically be a Spanish name. Two pressure cookers found placed in subway stations in New York City this morning. They say now that they appear to not be explosive devices, but maybe some Democrat just thought it would be entertaining and amusing to put these. This is the kind of bombs that, you know, how to make a bomb in the kitchen of your mom. This is what radical Islam teaches. And that this is what was used at the Boston Marathon was pressure cooker bombs. Isn't that right? I think they had pressure cooker bombs, the Boston Marathon. And two pressure cookers shut down the New York City subway this morning and the bomb squads were called in and all that stuff. And now they're using the word prank. It looks like it might have been a, oh, ho, ho, made you look, you know, kind of thing in New York City. Always very amusing. And maybe they'll catch somebody, and maybe they won't. I know the news media is probably trying to blame Trump. Is this Trump's fault? It's got to be Trump supporters. You remember the Boston Marathon bombing? They immediately tried to blame Republicans and patriotic people. Remember that? Because they hate patriotism in America. They love it in, you know, hellholes around the world. But patriotism in America, they're dead set against. You may remember that the Boston Marathon bombing, the news media was incredibly eager to blame because it was Patriot Day or Patriots Day, and which is celebrated on the same date in Boston. And they said, see, this is those people that call themselves patriots. They're white and they're terrorists and they murder everybody. This is what they say. And the news media, CNN in particular, you may remember, very eager to blame white guys. Remember, and the video emerged, and they're like, they're white, and everybody had their sources in the Boston establishment who were very eager, rubbing their greasy little claws together, hoping that they could blame white guys, because they really don't want it to be Muslims, because they lie about that whole radical Islam thing, too, and pretend that it doesn't exist and it's not a problem and pay no attention to the plane crashing into the building and all that stuff. And then we learned that it was these Muslims that did Barack Obama bring them in? Under this crazy program, they came in. And they were victims of oppression somewhere, so we brought them in, and then they decided to blow people up because, you know, on account of Islam and their take on Islam, which is what that was all about. But I digress. Back to Rashida Tlaib. She's quite a victim in all of this, even though she's being allowed in by Israel, because they said, well, look, our standard policy is even if you're hostile, if you have relatives here, we'll let you come in and visit your relatives. But we don't want to invite outside agitators, as the Democrats used to call Northerners, and to come into Israel to disparage us and fight against us and work against us, which means I guess they should keep Barack Obama out, too. And again, it's such an outrage, and it's so unprecedented. Well, they're racist, and the democracy doesn't do this. Now, we haven't done this in America since Barack Obama. We have to go all the way back to Barack Obama, who prevented travel on the part of an Israeli elected official that Obama didn't like, and so they banned him from traveling to the United States when he wanted to travel to the United States. That's okay, of course, because don't you know who he is? He supported the Muslim Brotherhood and the Iranians and tried to undermine Israel. And, you know, that the Jews won't let Barack meet with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the Reverend Israel. They got a lot of funny ideas about religion these days, too, don't they? Reading that Episcopal woman yesterday, she's an Episcopal priest who is the CEO of an abortion group. I put those pieces together and make sense of them. And if you can put those pieces together and make sense of them, you're probably voting in the Democrat primary, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because I care very deeply about children and about repealing the Hyde Amendment. Those are my two priorities.
And if that makes sense to you, you're probably voting in the Democratic primary. So Rashida Tlaib, very upset that Israel was prohibiting her from coming in. And then the Israeli government announced, well, you can come in because you have relative here, but Ilhan Omar can't because she doesn't have relatives here. And then Rashida Tlaib became angry. And they said, you know, we don't want you protesting and stuff when you come here. Rashida Tlaib became angry because they're all insane. Like, can we just, that's kind of the bottom line here. Because she's insane and they are all insane. That's right.
Who are they, racist?
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, again, enough with the everybody's a racist thing. Although we got some fun audio on that. Rashida Tlaib then tweeted, because this is how everybody communicates now,
silencing me and treating me like a criminal is not what she wants for me.
This is her, what is her papa? Yes, she calls her grandma her city. Her S-I-T-I, not C-I-T-Y. S-I-T.
My city wants me to come visit.
Well, then go visit her, by all means. It's a free country.
But no, I'm not going to go because I'm being oppressed.
well, you know, whatever, and then go home and shut up. Go back to where you came from, which is Michigan, by the way, and just stop bothering this nice country because we've had enough of you already. You haven't even made it through one term yet. Silencing me and treating me like a criminal is not what she wants for me, meaning her grandmother. It would kill a piece of me. Well, is it about her or about you? It would kill a piece of you to visit Israel, to visit your grandmother? That would kill a piece of you? I have decided that visiting my grandmother under these oppressive conditions stands against everything I believe in. Fighting against racism. Hey, wait, there's racism. I can't believe she brought racism into it. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Oppression and injustice. Yeah, maybe you remember the Holocaust. I'm just want to see if you have a good grasp of history or anything like that. You know, where the socialists set up death camps and murdered more than half the Jews in Europe. I looked up recently. Apparently, it's 58% of the Jews were murdered in Europe by the National Socialist Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler. But there she is. She wants to go see her city, but now she can't do it. It would kill a piece of me. Shut up. Good God. Take a pill. Get a job. Honestly, can't we all just get along? And here's it's a country song. It didn't win the Pulitzer Prize that other guy did for his great music about oppressing women and about racism because he's a racist. But never mind that. So she wanted to go visit her grandma in Palestine and refused to respect Israel. And she's for the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement. Which is where the real anti-Semites are to be found today. And then she says, I'm going to visit Palestine. And they say, well, you're not invited after the president's tweet. And then they say, okay, well, you got your grandmother here. You can come visit. I'm not going to because this is too oppressive and it would kill a piece of me. All right, at this point, you're mentally ill, okay? Honestly, at this point, you're a mental case. You're a basket case. You're a mess. You're unstable. And now they should bar her from visiting for being unstable, don't you think? Because we're trying to cut down. It's like the mass shooting thing. She's got potential here, I think. Mm-mm-mm. Representative Rashida Tlaib gets Israeli ministers okay to enter West Bank to visit her grandmother. And then she's tweeting out, she was excited. This woman right here is my city. City. She deserves to live in peace and with human dignity. So do the Jews. Would that be okay? No, I don't think that would be okay. I am who I am because of her. Well, only sort of, but yeah, you know, one of four grandparents. The decision by Israel to bar her granddaughter, a U.S. congresswoman, is a sign of weakness because the truth of what is happening to Palestinians is frightening. Well, they could say, yeah, we're for that two-state solution, and we'll lay down our arms, and we'll live side by side in peace. Or, we will push you into the sea. Who was that? That CNN had that their professor guy who was a regular commentator on CNN. He was it Mark Lamont Hill? Who was at an anti-Israel rally, from the river to the sea. See, that's what the jihadis say. They're going to kill all the Jews, drive them into the sea. And that's where these members of Congress are, too. And then the poor, confused woman from Michigan, the confused, gentle lady from Michigan. All right, I'm going, I'm not going, I'm going, I'm not going. She's my sister, she's my daughter, she's my sister, she's my daughter.
A free Palestine, from the river to the sea.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Don't miss Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 20% off. Save on Junior's tops. Young Men's Urban Pipeline Denim, just $19.99. And $2.99 bath towels. Plus, take an extra $10 off your $50 back-to-school purchase. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, free Amazon returns now at all Kohl's stores. This weekend at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid through August 18th. 20% with promo code SAVENOW. 10 off 50 with promo code BTS10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Just wait till you hear this Cardi B audio with Bernie Sanders. She who complains most loudly about high taxes is, I guess, maybe not the sharpest bulb in the constellation, but it's pretty impressive stuff. Hanging out with Bernie, who would tax her at 95%. if given the opportunity. And if he were elected president, he'd work hard toward that goal of taxing her at 95%. That's, you know, the tax man, the Beatles, one for me, 19 for you, or the other way around, and tax man. But she's got some funny ideas here, and she says it in kind of a funny way, too. So it's fun. It'll be good stuff. Cardi B and Bernie Sanders. Also have President Trump from last night. President Trump at a big rally in New Hampshire. And he was a ton of fun, of course, and he covered the waterfront. He covered everything from A to Z. And we've got a bunch of audio from the president, and he was funny, he was fun, he told the truth, the people loved it, crowd of, what, 11,000 people with thousands more waiting outside in Manchester, New Hampshire, he hit the Dems on everything, and he just, I don't think they're going to enjoy this campaign season, I really don't, because he's just going to keep punching them in the head. And he's got this big old ham on the end of his arm, and he's just going to keep punching them in the head. And they're not going to enjoy it at all. He's going to make fun of them. He's going to mock them. He's going to ridicule them. And we know, just look at Fredo. We know that they have really thin skins because they're not accustomed to being mocked and ridiculed and beat up. Saul Alinsky, one of the fathers, founding fathers of today's Democratic Party, teaches, of course, that ridicule is your most important weapon, your most potent weapon, and ridicule is impossible to recover from. And I don't think President Trump needed to read Rules for Radicals. I think he learned this in the schoolyard, like a lot of us, and he just brings it to the dance. And last night, he ripped him up one side and down the other, and it was good fun for half the country anyway. And Cardi B with Bernie Sanders, hilarious stuff. This audio is hilarious.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.